Present period. Petey Piranha picked a pot to push. Petey Piranha pushes paladins anything but peacefully. Petey Piranha pushes in participation and prepares for pressure to pile paladins into a pit. Phew. Please present your presence on the presentation where every player plays a part.
Forge Lounge Radio.
Slow clap for Jason. That was amazing. Hi, it's Rob, and welcome to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio here live with episode number 751 for this November the 4th of 2018. I, of course, am Rob Roberts. He is Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Good to have you back, of course, for another week. Not here for another week, Dark Soccer or Jamie Summers. Well, she will be joining us later, thanks to Radio Magic. But sadly, as you know, her work schedule has her occupied otherwise for a little bit longer. So we hope to welcome her back full time real soon. I know she'll pop in for a show later in the month in studio, kind of like she was last week for our big 750th episode.
Yeah.
But now we're at 751. So only, what, 249 after tonight. Then we hit 1,000. Then we're done, right? Nope. No podcast hits 1,000 episodes. Oh, 1,000 weekly episodes, right? Nobody's that crazy.
I'm that crazy.
Yes, you are that crazy. Hello to all you crazy people who listen along with us. And I say that in the best possible way. Of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Again, that's VogNetwork.com, where we have chatters like VidPower who ask, how many takes did it take to do that intro right? I don't know. I didn't ask Jason. I do know that was his second script. He said he changed it. He said, grab this new one, not the first one I used. So I didn't catch all the differences.
Are you saying he flipped the script?
He did. He flipped the script, but he can do that. It's his little creative thing we let him do because Jason does great jobs with the intro, as you heard tonight. Brad from Pod Culture, of course, wants to know the question of the week. What did Loki bring to eat? You went to the fried chicken place again, right?
Yeah, I went to the fried chicken place. I got their chicken strips, which probably shouldn't have gotten those because those are just they look like they're the ones that you find anywhere. Like,
yeah,
that they probably were frozen and they just threw them in a deep fryer.
Yeah, probably not as good as the...
And they don't really have any, like, dipping sauces aside from, like, this kind of generic ranch to go along with it. Uh-huh. So it's just kind of bland.
But garlic fries.
But garlic fries are great.
That's right. Anyway...
And the waffle's great.
We got a lot of, like, gaming news to cover tonight, so let's just jump right in. We had a lot going on in gaming this week thanks to BlizzCon, which is always a huge convention. You know, Blizzard is a very large, you know, gaming company that makes games that have really changed the industry, like World of Warcraft, Diablo. Certainly a lot of people really love that series.
Rock and Roll Racing.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The Lost Vikings. StarCraft and what that did for competitive gaming, especially we know, like, in Korea and stuff, StarCraft is a huge deal. And of course, Overwatch is really changing the game now in this day and age. Like, Overwatch is really taking esports to another level thanks to the Overwatch League. But lots of interesting stuff out of BlizzCon, right? This year's BlizzCon, not without controversy, which I'm sure you're all waiting for us to get into, but let's make sure we talk about everything. So what did we get at BlizzCon this year, Logie?
Well, we got announcements, and more announcements. So,
well, that's what they do at BlizzCon. You pay $200 to go hear announcements. And then,
yes. So
then play some of the
new
stuff.
Expansion for World of Warcraft.
Sort of. I know you don't play WoW. It's a patch. It's a patch expansion, so it's not
whatever,
like,
patch expansion. Well, see, it's not okay. You get it for free.
So we're gonna talk a lot tonight about language in marketing because you all know what this is gonna come down to. But this is one reason why. So Blizzard tricked you just the way they want to trick you. You thought it was a new expansion, but it's not. It's just a new patch that they give a fancy name to that's part of the Battle for Azeroth expansion, but it makes it sound like, oh, it's this whole new thing. And, I mean, it does bring new stuff to the game. Certainly, if you're a World of Warcraft fan, you are very much looking forward to it. I'm sure, you know, WoW-based shows like Girls Gone WoW here on this very network will spend much time talking about this new patch, but it is not what we would usually consider a new expansion, meaning retail release, box, $60 price tag, that whole type of thing. It's just, you know, the newest patch. And considering the Battle for Azeroth is very, like, story heavy, a lot of people kind of want to know where the story is going to go and who the new allied races are going to be and all that stuff. Anyway, I won't bore you with all those details because I know we have a lot of people that don't play WoW here on this show. But, you know, it's more stuff for the WoW fan base.
Yeah. They also announced the Warcraft 3 remaster that's going to be coming out.
That has a lot of people excited. I don't think I've heard a negative thing about that.
No, it looks pretty awesome.
Yep.
4K. And then they even have like another version of it, I think, that has some of the DLCs of it, or the expansion packs that they had from Warcraft 3.
Yeah, they kind of get into some of the story that then you play out in World of Warcraft, kind of like how the Lich King came to be and all that. That was the Frozen Throne expansion in Warcraft 3. So,
yeah.
Which is, you know, as much as I know about Warcraft lore now, thanks to my time with World of Warcraft, I actually didn't play a lot of Warcraft 3 back in the day. Like, I don't even think I ever owned it. I think I had a person I used to date that owned it, and I kind of played it that way, but never really bought it myself. So I'm kind of interested in checking it out. And, you know, a lot of stuff was born of Warcraft 3's mods, such as the modern lane-based MOBA is born from Warcraft 3. That's where
Defense of the Ancients.
That's where Defense of the Ancients was the mod. Or Dota. You ever wondered why Valve has Dota 2 and where the hell's Dota 1? That's because Dota 1 was a mod for Warcraft 3. Just like when Valve released Team Fortress 2, that's because the original Team Fortress was a Quake mod. So Valve, you know, was, at least for a while, I mean, they've been kind of quiet for a few years, but at least for a while was notorious for hiring the modding community to make new games, such as those examples. So anyway, hopefully the mod support will be back in Warcraft 3, because that would be pretty exciting to play like the original Defense of the Ancients and all that again. It might be exciting.
Yeah.
I don't think they talked a lot about that.
No. New character announced for Overwatch, Ashe.
Female McCree, kind of.
Yeah.
But with a shotgun. Basically, like McCree's antithesis, but female, and voiced by Jennifer Hale, which is great because you kind of, you know, Jennifer Hale's like a big name in the voice acting side of business. She's done a lot of the BioWare, Femme Shep. Our own Bobby Blackwolf is very proud of the bumper he has featuring Jennifer Hale. I met her once at one of the many Gamer X's, one of the ones she was at, and she's great. A lot of people know who she is, and it's kind of one of those, well, it's about time they found a way to put her in Overwatch. So win-win all around. I don't think anybody's upset about Ashe at all. She has a shotgun, which I didn't realize really is, I guess because I always kind of assumed that Roadhog's weapon was kind of like a shotgun, but it's really not. It's more like a chain gun. So, yeah, I mean, makes a lot of sense. We needed a shotgun hero in Overwatch, so now you got Ashe.
Doesn't Junkrat have...
No, because Junkrat uses all those grenades. His big thing is the grenade launcher. Yeah.
I don't play... I've literally played, like, maybe an hour's worth of Overwatch.
It's fun, but...
I know, have it. I own the game.
Well, then you're going to get Ashe, because they don't charge for the characters, so you'll get Ashe for free.
All right.
VidPower in chat says, thank you, Overwatch team, for the new female character. Yeah, you know, Blizzard... Blizzard got read to filth for some of their, you know, stereotypes and the way they presented characters several years ago.
Jetpack cat.
And Overwatch has been, you know, a big change. And I think Blizzard has been applauded for that. And, yeah, I think some girl power's a great thing.
I did not pay attention if there was any updates to Heroes of the Storm. I assume that there was.
There was. They announced, actually, the kind of big deal with Heroes of the Storm is that they have a brand new hero, Ophelia? I'm butchering her name, but it's something like that. But the twist is, she is not from a Blizzard game. So, you know, Heroes of the Storm has always been about characters all from other Blizzard games, including, like, Tracer's in there from Overwatch and Lucio, and, you know, some of the big names from Overwatch are in there. Then you have, you know, like, the Monk from Diablo 3, the Crusader, but they give them names. Like, the Crusader is Johanna, you know, they give them names. So, basically, like, all of Blizzard's franchises, that's where all the characters come from. And, you know, the probably the deepest cut they did was when they put the Lost Vikings in the game because they had to make a new category for Blizzard Classic. Well, now you've got basically a character born from the Nexus. So Blizzard has said, essentially, we're going to start creating new characters. So that's what they did with Ophelia. Sorry, I'm butchering her name. But she's kind of like a, I think like a dark mage, but she carries a big shield. Interesting, though, because Blizzard still could have tapped from many different Overwatch characters if they wanted to. I believe they're still missing some of the Diablo and Diablo 2 class representation. I'm sure they could have put some of the new WoW characters like Princess Taraji and, you know, some of the characters they're introducing in Battle for Azeroth. Like, if they really wanted to, they could put some of the new, but for whatever reason, this is the direction they want to go in. But I mean, I've played a lot of Heroes of the Storm. I don't hate it. It's interesting. Okay, sure.
Let them do some new stuff. I don't know anything about Hearthstone either. So,
honestly, I hope the Hearthstone fans don't get mad. But it's basically par for the course that you get a new card expansion, right? It's a new expansion, new cards. The cards do some different things. Like overkill is a brand new thing that's going to be on the cards, which means you get a special effect if you overkill, meaning you use more points of damage than it would normally take to kill the character. If you overkill, you'll kind of set off an extra mod, little things like that, and it's. The expansion, if I remember right, is very based on the Loa lore from Battle for Azeroth, which is explored with the trolls on the Horde side. It's kind of like the gods they believe in, and I'll kind of leave it at that. I don't want to bore you with all the details, but that's where Hearthstone's going with that.
And then...
Wait, before you get to the big one, WoW Classic, right? So they gave a date for World of Warcraft Classic is going to be summer of 2019.
No,
so.
I had another big one.
Oh, okay. No, I know. Well, I said before you get to the big one.
Well, no. There's another big one.
Oh, okay.
They're invading your breakfast.
Oh, that is a big one. Yeah, they dropped that on the pre-show stream. I was surprised about that. Tell us more.
Yeah, so they're going to have, I don't remember what the cereal is called, but it's basically Overwatch cereal.
And Lucio's.
Lucio's, yes.
Which they have referenced in the game before, and I think I actually have a Lucio's shirt. So how funny. Here I am thinking I was buying a shirt that's like an inside joke to Overwatch because, you know, it's like a joke in the game. And now, oh, I spent money on something that is now free advertising for Kellogg's. That's great. But no, I love that it's a real thing. It's funny.
Speaking of Kellogg's, I actually was able to pick up a box of Super Mario cereal.
Oh, that
today.
Still exists? You can actually get that?
Yeah, they have it. Oh. They have it over at Winco now.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit. All right.
Because I've been looking for that, and the kids saw that. I'm like, sure, you can have this Lucky Charms knockoff. There you go.
That's the one with the cereal box amiibo, right?
They don't have that anymore. It's just cereal now.
No wonder you can
it's
still
overpriced
find it.
Cereal now.
Yeah. Well, you know the Lucio's is supposed to come with a loot box of some sort. I don't know if it's a full loot box or a special loot box, but that cereal is going to be impossible to find. So good luck. It's going to be like that Super Mario cereal. And I bet you, not that I would encourage this. I don't encourage this, but I think it's going to happen anyway. People are going to buy that Lucio cereal and flip it on eBay and flip it, you know, to get, especially if the loot box has something unique in it, which I don't think it will. I don't think they were saying anything about that. I think it's just like a regular, you know, loot box that you get from like leveling up and stuff. But yeah, I can really see people trying to flip that cereal, which is kind of interesting.
Ridiculous.
But I love that Lucios are a real thing.
Yeah. So. And then, so I guess we'll get into the announcements.
Yes, please.
So the new Diablo announcements. So Diablo 3 Switch that came out finally.
It was the same day as the start of BlizzCon. So yeah. I mean, that was kind of like their big like, hey, if you want to check out Diablo 3 on Switch, you can starting today. Woohoo!
It's Diablo, the next Diablo, and everyone's like, woo! What's that? And they're like. You know, in the same vein of Command & Conquer, we're going mobile. It's Diablo Immortal, folks. What's that look for? Don't you guys have phones? Come on. Don't you use your cell phones and you're talking and you're Twittering and you're Facebooking and Instagram?
You assholes are all on social media right now tweeting about how much you hate me on your phone. A phone you can use to play Diablo Immortal. I kind of felt bad for that guy. Like... He kind of looked like he had a little bit of stage fright going on. Like, there was some weird stuff was happening with the BlizzCon opening, like, because, like, the sound on the Hearthstone stage didn't work. So they were clearly having to, like, shuffle it on the fly because they did the Warcraft 3 thing, and then they went back to Hearthstone. So they kind of had to, like, do it out of order a little bit. So I think everybody was, like, a little thrown off from that. But, like, he just looked very, like, there was parts of it that was, like, deer in headlights. And, like, I'm not here to personally make fun of somebody whose job it is to probably make games and, you know, the fact that he has to, you know, get up on the stage is, you know, it not everybody can do it. And for the most part, he did a good job, but I think we all have seen the part where he kind of put his foot in his mouth a little bit when he was like, well, don't y'all have phones? When, yes, but that doesn't mean we're all here at BlizzCon because we're fans of mobile games. So, yeah. Anything else you want to say on this, Loki? Because I get a book, everybody. I got it like a 15-minute rant on this.
I hear based on what what's been seen of it so far, the company that's making, because it isn't actually Blizzard that's developing the game, it's another company, I think.
Yeah.
And the company that they have a game that's basically a knockoff of Diablo, and it's like they're saying that this looks like a knockoff of Diablo, except it's an official Diablo game, but it resembles a knockoff of Diablo, so take that as you will.
All right, so let's talk about this whole debacle, because we've seen just the internet has just exploded with a lot of negativity around this game. And, you know, actually, it wasn't just on the internet. Some of it was happening in person. Somebody had the balls to get up there in front of everybody and ask the question, is this an April Fool's joke? You know, completely stone-faced, you know, to the developer's face to ask that type of question. Is this just some type of April Fool's joke? And, like, okay, I understand that you feel very, like, you know, wronged or whatever by what happened. But, like, I couldn't help but feel like, dude, you paid $200 to be at BlizzCon. And I just had that DJ Khaled in my mind. Is that Khalid? I had him in my mind where that, congrats, you played yourself. Like, that's honestly, like, the image that came to my mind is, like, you paid $200 to Blizzard so you could go there and just, like, ask something kind of like, why are you even at the panel if you're not, like, feeling the game? Did you just go to be rude? Like, it's so, I don't know, like, it just, that left a bad taste in my mouth. But to be fair, the response wasn't exactly great either. What if the response had been something more like this? Okay, ask me the question, Logie. Pretend you are angry. You are angry, dude, over free mobile game. Ask me the question. I'm going to pretend I'm developer from Diablo.
Is this like an April Fool's joke or something like that? I mean, where's the real game?
No, it's not a joke. Look, here's the thing is that as we announced online a couple weeks ago, we have multiple Diablo projects in development right now. And we know our PC fans are not going to be disappointed. But what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to grow our market into other places where mobile phone gaming is really big. I mean, after all, everybody does have a mobile phone. So we want you to be able to take this Diablo experience on the go. And we think this is something that can hold you over until the next big Diablo experience.
Wow, that is a great response and not at all, you know, entitled.
So would that response have been better, Logan?
That would have been better than what they did.
Exactly.
But then again, much like we've learned with Office Space, you know, sometimes the developers aren't the best people to be talking directly to the public.
Right. And the difference between me and him, to my, you know, to his credit, I have 15 plus years of making shit up on the spot and having dialogue thanks to this little program called Orange Lounge Radio. This person probably had media training, which probably doesn't cover quite all the bases. So while we're talking about messaging and while we're role playing this Rob Roberts runs Blizzard scenario here, how about this, Loki? How do you think maybe the message would have been different if, and I ask everybody in chat this as well. Actually, I want to see if there's any comments there in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDev says, Rob for Blizzard PR. Thank you.
My worries, and this is also a worry that people have with the fact that it's a mobile game, is that they're thinking that Activision is running this, you know, ship, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And Activision, when it comes to free-to-play models, or even not free-to-play models, but treating them as free-to-play models, they milk the fucking shit out of that. All of the things that you know, hate about mobile games will be in this mobile game, is what their fear is. And, you know, looking at EA, same thing. EA did the same shit with Command & Conquer. And they thought, what? Why are you guys angry? We gave you a new Command & Conquer. What the hell?
Right.
You know, it just tone deaf, I guess.
Well, and a single, let's if we're going to run with this whole Rob is going to run Blizzard PR for a minute. How would you guys feel if BlizzardCon had gone like this? Instead of Diablo Immortal being the last announcement, Warcraft 3 Remastered is the last announcement. Now, I haven't heard anything negative about the Warcraft 3 Remastered thing. Have you heard anything negative about Warcraft 3 Remastered?
Nope.
So you can get away with remastering a game that's a classic game that most people really like and doing that in 4K and modernizing it, and I think people are going to be okay with that. So first things first, we're going to make Warcraft 3 Remastered the last announcement. So before that, we'll get into Diablo. And so I'm going to be the dude that comes up on stage, and I'm going to start it off something like this. Hey, everybody, and welcome. Hope you're having a wonderful BlizzCon, and we have a lot of exciting stuff going on in the Diablo universe. You know, we wrote an open letter to all of you a few weeks ago that talked about that we have many Diablo products in the works, and we have several, but I'm here to talk to you about the first one that you can expect today. This project is called Diablo Immortal, and it's actually a special, unique Diablo experience developed for mobile phones. You know, everybody has a mobile phone, and mobile phones are growing, and we want to invite everybody to participate in the Diablo experience, because this is a universe we want everybody to enjoy. You know, show the trailer, show the hype, you know, build all that stuff, and then continue. Diablo Immortal is actually playable on the show floor today, and we hope you'll all have a chance to play it. And I hope to be back real soon to talk to you about what's next for Diablo, because I know what you're all waiting for. Right? How's right. that? How's that?
Much better.
Much better. Thank you. So a lot of that is in the messaging, right? And this is a very, like, this whole way this is blown up and everything is a very interesting study in, like, Blizzard and, like, messaging in general. Not just like Blizzard specifically, but this is the type of thing that, like, video game PR people are going to study for a long, long time. Because Blizzard's fan base, as we've talked about on OLR before, is a very, like, usually loyal fan base. I mean, you know, I think part of the reason that Overwatch took off in the first place is that all these people who usually wouldn't play first-person shooters did it because Blizzard did it. And Blizzard made a version of it that was very accessible that people wanted to play. And I think that got people very excited. I think Blizzard did make an error in assuming that their company that has been founded around these PC primarily, I think it's fair. Yes, of course, they have console releases too, but those are usually the sideshows, right? Most of their releases are PC. They've always been a very PC-based company. The fact that, you know, their tentpole announcement of BlizzCon essentially was, well, you PC fans, guess what? We've got a mobile game for you, and it's actually a PC game that you all know and love from PC, or putting it on a mobile device. And I think that's why a lot of people are very like if the project had been something like, and I know you're all gonna laugh at me, but I don't give a fuck, like Diablo Go, like something like Pokemon Go, or something that is just not Diablo 3 looking on a cell phone, had been like a completely different type of game, I wonder if people would have had the same very negative reaction to it.
Probably.
Yeah. But here's the other thing with that. I'm not going to completely say that Blizzard is 100% in the wrong here, because, I mean, it does make a lot of sense to do mobile phone games. There's a lot of companies making a lot of money off of mobile games. I do think Diablo as a mobile game is probably an idea that would have been better about 3-4 years ago, but this is where Blizzard's slow development calendar to take the time to get everything right. This is one of those, I hate to say it, this is one of those places where that kind of hurts them, I think, is that they're a little late to the party with Diablo Immortal. But whatever. I mean, that's actually not the most, like the biggest sin. So you're a little late to the game, whatever. I do think, though, that a lot of people are like really kidding themselves when they talk about how much they hate this game. Because here's the reality. This is a free game. All these haters out there and stuff, they're going to download it. They're going to try it. You can tell me all you want. Nah, I'm not going to. Yes, you are. You're going to try it because it's free. I'm not saying the game's going to be successful. I'm not saying the game's going to make oodles of money. But I seem to remember when Nintendo first announced Miitomo and then subsequently Super Mario Run, there was a little bit of negativity on those games as well. You know what? A lot of people downloaded those games anyway. Now, to be fair, I also realized that Super Mario Run ended up kind of getting a lot of flack, and Nintendo did not consider that game a success because of the fact people downloaded it didn't mean that people ended up dropping the $10 to actually buy the levels. So it's like Super Mario Run had a ton of people that downloaded it for free just to check it out, and then very few of that actually converted over. So I'm not saying necessarily that Diablo Immortal is going to be this runaway success of a game, but I do think there's a lot of people out there that are kidding themselves when they say they're not even going to try it. I'm sorry. I don't believe it. So, you know, you can maybe people will now go further out of spite or whatever. But the reality is it's free. There's going to be at least a lot of people who download it to tell their friends, oh, I played it and it sucks. I don't know. Maybe it won't suck. I don't know. There's, you know, I would I would be kind of a hypocrite to sit here and say, I'm going to hate this game just because it's a mobile game, when I spend all the time I do playing things like Ingress, Pokemon Go, and I responded pretty favorably to Nintendo's latest offering, which was more of an original game. Dragalia Lost is actually not a bad mobile game at all. So I'm not necessarily ready to write Diablo off completely because it's a mobile game. I just think their messaging, all they had to do, Loki, just show a logo for Diablo 4. Just show the fucking logo for Diablo 4. That's it.
Pull a Nintendo.
What? Why not?
Sure.
What? Pull a Bethesda. What did Bethesda do? What did Bethesda do? And they're not getting Reddit for this at all. Bethesda announced that the next Elder Scrolls game is going to be a mobile game. It's a mobile game that they're going to put on PlayStation 4 and Switch, yes. But the next Elder Scrolls game is a mobile game. Did you all forget Bethesda just did a similar thing at E3 and did not get dragged over the coals for this? Bethesda announced their next Elder Scrolls, this big series where everybody's waiting for the next one, is a mobile game. But the reason why they didn't get fucking dragged? Because what did they immediately follow it up with? What was the very next announcement? I'm using hyperbole. What was the next announcement?
Elder Scrolls 6.
Elder Scrolls 6. And all they did was they showed like a painting, a little drum beat, and the Elder Scrolls 6 logo. And you know that game ain't fucking coming out for years. And it'll still be buggy when it's released. Yet, did anybody give that mobile Elder Scrolls shit? Nope. Now, I'm sure some will want to argue, but the mobile thing doesn't look like a reskin of an existing game. But we're getting in the weeds a little bit here, okay? I'm saying is that messaging is like really important. That's my point, okay? I don't really know this Diablo game truly until I actually get my hands on it to play it. So anyway, little rant there. All right, going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I'm not surprised that Blizzard did this with Diablo. In a way, it was kind of inevitable. Let's see. Dungeon Buster also says, Blizzard needs to make money, and that money is going to be used to fund other projects that they will be working on. Hopefully, one of those projects will be on better messaging. SG100 Matt points out, Hearthstone got so much shit when it was announced, but got 25 million downloads within the first 3 months of its release. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, here's an idea. Make a new StarCraft or a new sequel, one of their classic games. How about a new Lost Vikings? Well, I mean, to be fair, Tiger Claw, I think the Warcraft 3 remaster is kind of where they're headed. I mean, Blizzard has a classics game division at this point, and I don't think this will be the last remaster. I really truly believe one of the other projects they're working on right now is a Diablo remaster, because they said they had multiple Diablo products in development. One of them's Diablo 4, duh. One of them is a Diablo remaster. It's just a question, is it Diablo 1 or Diablo 2? Probably Diablo 2. Yeah. But we'll see, I suppose.
Well, that's why they did Warcraft 3 and not Warcraft 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm. Dungeon Buster, with my analogy there, saying Bethesda did that totally right. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, maybe Blizzard should have learned from the massive boycott they got over having colors in Diablo 3. I don't remember what was... I mean, that was a crippling boycott. I think whole tens of people didn't buy it. I do remember that one BlizzCon in particular... The big announcement at the very end was that the Demon Hunter is coming to Diablo 3. That was the final announcement at one of the BlizzCons. So, I don't know. Like, maybe they need to reapproach the expectations they're setting for BlizzCon? I don't know. I feel like the one year I went to BlizzCon, do you know what the tentpole announcement was? Overwatch, okay? That was the best year to go to BlizzCon, honestly, as far as, like, you know, press conferences and unveilings go. Because not only, you know, was it like this brand new Blizzard property and everybody was fucking psyched about it, but they had that whole Pixar quality movie trailer thing that kicked it off. That was a beautiful year. That was a beautiful thing to see in person, you know. And it's interesting how high and low the various BlizzCons can go. All right. Bobby Blackwell says, Rob has the shirt with the rainbows and unicorns around the Diablo 3 logo. I don't, actually. I want that shirt, but I don't have it.
I thought you did. Oh, no, you don't.
No, I have a similar one that says, I'm dead inside, with the unicorns and the rainbows and all that stuff. It just says, I'm dead. I've worn that to host Rocky Horror before, but I do not have a Diablo. And it was my icon on the Vogue forums, was that thing, but I when we had those. But I actually never did get that shirt, although I wanted it. And Bobby's reminding me it was a huge boycott because there were colors in Diablo 3 and it wasn't drab and dark like Diablo should be. Well, here's the thing, guys, and maybe we'll kind of end on this note and then we can move on with the show. Is that I don't like, here's the thing, like with all the hate and stuff that Blizzard's getting right now, I feel like Blizzard is a little more open to feedback than a lot of other companies. I feel like Blizzard is really going to go back to their like, Blizzard's not stupid, you guys. Blizzard's going to go back Monday morning, and they're going to really ask themselves, what the fuck happened? I can just imagine right now, they're all getting in a room. There goes Jay Allen, the guy running it, the Wyatt, the Diablo guy, all the guys, big guys you saw at BlizzCon, they're all going to be sitting around a room Monday morning, shut the door, thank you. Okay, what the fuck happened? That's going to be a conversation 8:30 a.m. at Blizzard headquarters tomorrow morning. So they're gonna really try to reevaluate and work on some of that messaging. But I think it was a bad idea to not immediately remind people there are many Diablo products in development, and this is one of them. I know Blizzard tried to put out a letter online to reduce some of those expectations. That wasn't clearly it wasn't enough. They needed to reiterate it on stage. What is their fear about saying the words Diablo 4 on stage? Are they worried that they might ultimately cancel it or something? Like, how is Blizzard not going to make a Diablo 4 eventually? It's just, I don't know. Very strange. But anyway, I do think Blizzard is going to hear some of this feedback. And I think we may end up seeing, I think there's a very strong possibility this thing does not stay exclusive to mobile. Because we know that mobile type games like, oh, fuck, I don't know, Jetpack Joyride and stuff will come out on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. So maybe the ultimate thing that happens with this is that Diablo Immortal ends up on consoles as well. I think there's a very distinct, and maybe even PC. I think there's a very distinct possibility that happens. I'm not going to say that it's not going to be filled with microtransactions and all that stuff all of a sudden, but I'm just saying that it's a very unique possibility that they end up not making this mobile exclusive. I don't know. But their third-party partnership, I think that's what makes it a little bit trickier, because I'm not sure their third-party partner develops for those type of things. So I don't know. Anyway, Tiger Claw points out, Hearthstone was a mobile game, then got ported to consoles. Actually, you're kind of a little wrong. You think it was a mobile game. Originally, it was an iPad and PC release, or tablet. The mobile came later because they had to condense the interface down for mobile. It was actually originally for tablets when people were talking more about iPads and that sort of thing more often, which for whatever reason, we don't really talk about tablet PCs and Macs as much as we used to, which is interesting. But I do seem to remember the original release of that was on tablets and PC. Let's see. Dark Tetsuya says, I don't know. What I heard on the YouTube trailers, comments are getting deleted. They even re-uploaded one of the trailers to try and stave off the downvotes, but I don't believe it worked out. Well, of course it didn't work out. We all know Streisand effect, and that whole thing is in full effect. You cannot remove that type of negativity from the internet, and I don't know who they're kidding. But Blizzard probably handles PR companies to do a lot of this, and you know, it's probably what the PR company's trying to do to save face. I don't freaking know. But all I know is that I would expect within a month, Blizzard's going to, probably less, Blizzard's going to have a big something to say about this. And honestly, a lot of it's probably just going to be a reiteration of the letter they already wrote. This is one of many Diablo products in the works. So please look forward to it, I suppose. All right. Anyway, Rama in chat says, Diablo Mobile will end up on Switch, 3DS, and Vita. Oh, Rama, nothing's coming out for the Vita.
I was going to say, what's a Vita?
Nothing's going to come out for the Vita anymore. No, I'm in Japan, maybe. I don't know.
I think they've killed the support there, too.
Not really, because we still see releases on the Vita calendar. But
Sony's
I think
officially.
Yeah, Sony's official. Hey, as long as people are buying the games, they'll make them. I mean, but yeah, I think it's going to start scaling way back in Japan pretty soon. I think that's going to be about the end of it. And Rama reminds me, that's the joke. Yes, I know, I know. All right, let's get into our gaming weeks. And then I'm going to invite a special guest on the show to talk about his gaming week. So, Loki, why don't you talk to us a little bit about your gaming week? How was your gaming week?
Well, I did some streaming on Twitch of DDR Extreme. I originally had planned on upgrading my machine, well, maybe downgrading my machine to a fourth plus. However, the CD drive that I got, while it is good for actually, or the DVD drive that I have is good enough to run the games that I have, it's not good enough to run the Super Disc. So I have a new drive coming in its place. But at least I was able to, you know, replace that without breaking anything. And I got to take apart the 573 board and stuff like that. So that'll be coming probably in a couple weeks. I think they said delivery on the 19th. So about 2 weeks away. And then I did get to play a little bit more Red Dead Redemption 2. I still don't really know what the hell to do in that game. I think I just... probably going to go through the story. I kind of want to get all the achievements and stuff and then just cheat like crazy through it because that's where the fun is. But I haven't quite gotten there yet. But it's a very fun game still. And then I did finally dust off my VR headset to play some VR games. I did get enough time to play Tetris Effect both in VR and in 4K. So the 4K, you know, it looked good. I prefer it in VR. For me, it was easier to see the screen and just be able to, even with like the zoom function that they have in, you know, Tetris Effect, it was just easier to see what I was doing. And it was easier to appreciate like some of the stuff that was going on around it. It was kind of hard like to notice like some of the background changes and stuff in the 4K version, which is weird. But I don't know. I guess it was kind of meant for VR in the first place. So I'm down with that. But with that being said, I still don't like the fact, and I know Bobby can probably, you know, relate to this, the stupid drifting thing where the screen will drift slightly to the left all the time. And I get it that I can put my headset on the floor for a little bit and it's supposed to, you know, solve that problem. And usually you can just reset your...
Yeah, Bobby was talking about that the Tetris Effect didn't have recentering.
Exactly.
Well, now, to be fair, this could be a demo versus retail
thing. Right, right. I understand that. But, like, typically, even in demos for, like, that stuff, they have it where you can recenter it. Couldn't recenter it this way. So I ended up having to, like, kind of turn almost, like, 45 degrees to the left to see the screen. And it was ridiculous. And at this point in time... like, the PlayStation VR has been out for, what, like a year or two now?
Yeah, it's coming up on 2 years.
Why haven't they fixed this? Why? Why haven't they fixed this yet? This is ridiculous that this is still an issue this late in the game. Fix your shit. Why is this still a problem? I know we're not the only ones having this problem. Why can't this be fixed? Or, hey, occasionally just have it drift to the right to offset, you know, like the fucking drifting to the left. I don't understand why they can't just fix that shit. So, yeah, that was my only gripe there, but it's a great game. I look forward to the full version when I get that unlocked, I think, on Friday.
Yeah, it's really soon, right? It's like not this week, but next, right?
No, it's this week.
Oh, shoot. Nice. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So,
is that it for your gaming week?
That's it.
My gaming week.
Oh, Pokemon Go. And I'm sorry, and I want to say that I like the Adventure Sync thing because that's pretty cool. I finally got the Fitbit thing to work, too. And what's great is the Google Fit thing. It does not calculate steps very well. It over-calculates those steps. But that works in my favor when it comes to...
Well, and then it works in Niantic's favor, too, because you're buying more incubators.
No, not really. Well, I don't have to buy... like, I never... I'm buying Pokeballs now, but, like, I just got, like... all of a sudden, when that kicked in, it's like, oh, here's, like, 30 Pokeballs. I'm like, cool, I guess.
Nice.
So...
okay. Well, if that's it for you, then my gaming week. All right, I'll start with Pokemon Go as well, because, you know, nobody plays mobile games. But I participated in the Gengar raid day on Saturday, and I was very lucky this time, my very first Gengar raid was a shiny. So I was like, cool. Like, this never happens to me. Like, there's been some shiny days. I didn't get any on the Articuno day. I didn't get any. So it was nice to just kind of have that out of the way. I couldn't even tell it was shiny because the difference is so subtle. The only way I knew was the little special icon. And I was like,
yeah, that's like,
and I also exclaimed loudly. I'm like, is this because it did the little star thing when it showed up? I was like, is this a shiny? And then of course, like three people next to me, like, huh? And like looked at my phone, and you know, one of my buddies like tapped my screen. Yeah, it's a shiny. It's shiny. And I was like, oh shit! Wow, cool. I finally won the shiny lottery for a change. So that was kind of nice. So I did the Gengar day. And then, of course, I stuck with it. Alan ended up getting a shiny, too. And, you know, we raid over in the business district not far from here in the next town over. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of, like, go throughout all those businesses and do all the gyms there. So we kind of walk a big route that's maybe, like, 10 or 11. I mean, we probably could do more gyms. But most people want to stop after, like, 10 because, you know, they've burned their 5 free raid passes and whatever maybe they had left over in their inventory. I think I still have, like, 25 extra raid passes because of all the boxes I bought for incubators. So I'm more than happy to burn raid passes. But anyway, I got my one shiny, so I'm happy there. Other stuff. I've also played the Tetris Effect demo, and I loved it. I really, really loved it. I did a stream when I played it for the very first time. So cheap plug for my Twitch channel over at Rob Roberts. I played that on Twitch. And I love it so far. I mean, I know it's just a demo, so I can't really give you my full thoughts, but I'm really anxious to play more. Like, I just, the immersion, the beauty of those, even the three skins that were available. Like, you know, obviously everybody loved that trailer song, which is the first skin. The second skin had a great song, and it was interesting enough where the design of that really kind of messes with your head. How like the little lines in the block kind of go back and forth and they change colors. I don't know about you, but that was really messing with me when I was playing. So it was kind of neat. And then that third stage with, you know, the fire and the drum beats and the kakak and all that stuff. And the stage would actually change. And then like as you're going, like more and more people show up to like bow down to the Tetris thing and all that. It was just really cool. Like, it's just so well done. It really is Luminous meets Tetris. And that's fine. That's what I wanted. that's great. Perfect. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, yeah, this is... So far, I'm really loving it, and I'm really excited for the retail release. I unboxed the VR this week with the intention of playing the demo on VR, but then ended up going to a movie, and I just didn't get around to it. But to be fair, I also have an unopened copy of Diablo 3 for Switch, also waiting for me to go play. So Tetris Effect in VR is not the only thing that I've been neglecting. But I forgot how many parts there are for that PlayStation VR. They have to like number everything.
It's not that many.
It's a lot. It's like leg bones connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bones. It's like putting together the PlayStation VR. Let's see. What else? I've still been playing World of Warcraft. Working on my Alliance character that I boosted. Is now up to 116. My Affliction Warlock. So still enjoying that. And been playing that a bit, and I guess that's really it for me to say.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase icon.
Yeah, that's it for my gaming week. Go into our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. SG100 Matt says, Shiny Gengar was so lame. We're shiny. It's Gengar with a gray Instagram filter. Bobby Blackwolf says Rob is talking about how much fun he's having, and all I'm hearing is dead game. Whatever. How much money did it make last month? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, we're gonna break form a little bit here, and we're gonna invite a friend of ours to come on the show here for a little bit to talk about his gaming week, because I know there's a very kind of unique new game that came out, and I know our friend has some strong opinions on this. And the more I was hearing about this game, I was like, what in the hell is this? And I want to talk about it. So welcome to the show. You know him from such shows as Ranger Pride. Welcome back, Shane, to the network.
Hello.
Hey, Shane, how you doing?
I am fine.
It's good to hear from you. What have you been up to lately? I know your shows have been on a little bit of a hiatus, but everything going
well? Well, I
for
quit
you?
My show, so it didn't matter. Oh, well, what kind of hiatus it's on anymore.
Well, I bet your fans are very sad to hear that, but you got a lot of other stuff going on, right?
No, but that's okay.
Oh. All right. You've got things going on like playing games, right? Your gaming week?
I'm up to 9 shiny pincer right now in Pokemon Go.
You're up to 9 shiny pincers?
Yes.
Wait.
I want to do more.
Everyone brace yourselves. I'm going to piss Shane off. Ready?
I already know. I saw your Twitter post.
How many shiny Gengars did you get?
Zero.
Sorry. It's the one time you don't get a shiny, Shane. Let me have my moment.
I guess you could just trade one to him.
I don't have
two. How many did you get?
Only one. I only got one.
Oh, okay. Loki's... Well, you should still trade it to me.
I don't think so. But I got my one shiny Pinsir, so I'm happy. But anyway, we've been criticized about talking about Pokemon Go too much on this podcast, so I want to talk about a different game.
Pokemon Talk is amazing.
I know.
Even if it's a crappy game like Go.
Well, then let's bring back Pokestop Podcast. What do you say?
Potentially, I could be down.
Oh, all right. To be continued. All right. But anyway, you want to talk about a different game this week, right?
Well, you wanted me to talk about it, but I am more than happy to talk about it.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. So tell us about this game. How is your gaming week? What have you been playing?
I decided I'm a masochist, and I purchased The Quiet Man.
The Quiet Man. Is that The Wicker Man?
I don't know what
place?
That means.
What is this game?
It doesn't make sense to me. It's a game. I don't remember who makes it. It's like a fairly well-known developer, but it's published by Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
It came out of nowhere. I believe it was at E3, and it was just this weird looking game that had live action video mixed in with, you know, regular PS4 graphics. It looked like a beat 'em up. Nobody knew what was going on, and people were intrigued and scared.
Mixing full motion video with games, isn't that something they did back when like CD-ROM technology was first out? Like Phantasmagoria, is that basically what this is?
No, it's like you remember what's the game that's on Xbox?
Night Trap?
Halo.
No, not Night Trap.
All right, next time you're gonna tell a joke, have it ready to go. All right,
it wasn't a joke. I was just referring. It is a game I didn't play, but you liked it because it had like it was like half TV series, half.
Alan Wake. No, this is nothing like
that. No, it's the other one. Not Alan Wake. The other game they did. Remedy. With Sean Asmore. What?
Quantum Break?
Yes, Quantum Break.
Quantum Break, yes. Thank you.
No, this, again, nothing like that, because that was an amazing game.
No, I'm just saying.
Spoilers, this one's not.
They're similar with the live action and like gameplay. This game is crap. That's.
I don't even know if I would say it's similar in that vein. Let Shane talk.
Wow, you'll never hear Rob say that again.
That's true. Enjoy this moment while it lasts.
Okay, so like PlayStation Network had it on sale for a couple dollars cheaper, and I was like, what the heck? I'm kind of intrigued by this game because I like games that are bad, but they're so bad that they're good. Like one of my all-time favorite games, Rising Zan. That is a terrible game, but it is funny. It's not really that terrible to play, and it's just one of my favorites. This game is probably the worst game I've ever played in my life.
Why?
Like this game is worse than Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival.
That's
not even a game, because a little 2-year-old can beat you at that game in quote marks, because you don't do anything.
Is it worse than Superman 64?
Yes.
Wow.
I'd rather play that.
Oh wow!
Now let me explain. So the premise of this game, from what I can tell, is that you are this guy who happens to be deaf, and you beat up people for the first half of the game. Okay, this game is really racist, too, I think, because you don't get a lot of information as to what's going on because you're deaf, and the developers decided, well, then there should be no audio in the game. So you're playing the game, people are talking, it's not subtitled, I don't read lips, I'm just guessing what's going on half the time.
It's an interesting artistic decision. Like, I'm like, okay,
Premise that could work.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm all for having a deaf protagonist. That's an interesting...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's an interesting twist, yeah.
Yeah, so the first half of the game, I'm beating up Hispanic gang members. That's all I do. There's four different models, four or five, and you just repeatedly beat them up. And you have a couple like techniques or buttons you can hit for different attacks. The game doesn't tell you like what each thing does, except in a little neon light picture. Like you can go to the controller select screen, or the control screen rather, and you'll hit like square, and it'll show this neon sign of like your guy punching, and then like triangle is the neon sign of your guy kicking. No words or anything to really tell you what's going on. So some of the controls I still don't understand because I don't read neon light signs.
But you and all those years of Beatmania 2DX, and you don't read neon light signs?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Just where to go with this? You beat those five same characters up in very generic places constantly, and spliced in between some of the action sequences are flashbacks. And I get your mom gets shot and killed by one of the gang members.
Well, that's not very
so
nice.
You think. Well, you know, you guys aren't going to play it. I don't care. I'm going to spoil everything. This is a terrible game. The gang members had nothing to do with it. So when you're fighting, after you have that first flashback, occasionally when you kill an enemy, the screen slows down. You still see your terribly animated character and the terribly animated enemies. And then in the background, they try to overlay like images, like, you know, these flashbacks are real people, like the real footage stuff. They overlay that over the game screen. So it's really jarring to see these poorly animated computer modeled characters fight while really badly acted FMV is going on in the background of like the apartment you're in. It's really, really bad.
This question should be asked though, Shane. Like, is it like, and you probably won't understand this, but humor me, okay? Is it like The Room bad? You know that movie?
I don't know what that is.
You know the movie The Room that's so bad that people, okay, or Showgirls bad?
Like, I've never seen that either.
It's a movie that's so bad that it's actually kind of good when everybody sits around and makes fun of it.
So here's what's fun about this game too, is there's like long cutscenes like with people talking that you can't understand it, and there's no subtitles.
Right. Yes, so you're watching that, 2 minutes and at the beginning, and that's what really threw me the first time.
Now, I thought I heard something about that they were going to patch in audio or something like that. Like, there's a patch coming.
Who cares? It's not going to make the game good. The gameplay, you can hit the square button over and over, and that's all you really need to do for the most part to get through any area. Because your character will kind of just randomly teleport somewhere to another enemy. Like, it's not even like there's a movement of your character. He literally teleports right next to them. And like Loki was saying, the first time after you do the intro, you talk with your friend. Spoiler, he's the one that killed your mom, so he's not your friend.
Oh my god, Shane, you just like
ruined the whole
game. It doesn't
matter. Nobody should play this game. I'm trying to make sure they don't. It's a 6 or 7 minute full like cutscene of these actors talking and signing with no sound, no subtitles, and you're just sitting there watching and making up your own story at that point because it's way more interesting than what's going on. Or if you're like my boyfriend, you kind of fall asleep during it because it's really boring.
Or the best part where they just purposefully make it so that you don't understand the story. Like, there's one part where the protagonist is looking at a ransom note, but you're looking at the ransom note from a camera angle behind his head, so you can't see what's on the ransom note because even though he's deaf, doesn't mean that you can't read the ransom note to be able to gain the knowledge of whatever it is that he's seeing. They purposely make it so that it's impossible to follow the story.
So one of my favorite parts, though, is shortly after that, you're talking to your friend who's the bad guy. Remember that, everybody, so you don't play this.
wasn't there like some cop guy or something that was also a bad guy?
No, this is where it gets racist for that. We'll get to that in a second. But your friend is talking to you with his, like, he's got his back turned to your character, and he says something to your character with his back turned to your character who is deaf, and your character responds by talking.
Is there going to be a twist maybe when they put in the dialogue that, like, this whole thing was this weird avant-garde art thing, and that it actually makes a lot of sense when you actually get dialogue later?
No, I don't think so. I don't even care. And that segues into my next point. So, first of all, super racist. The first half of the game, you beat up on Hispanic guys. The second half, you beat up on black guys. And then your hero is this white cop. I'm like, okay, this is hilarious. Oh, you're trying to save a white woman, too. And you're like the most generic white guy ever. It's so annoying.
So for every like avant-garde artistic decision, there's some pretty, pardon the pun, tone deaf ones too.
And then for no reason, he turns into some magical bird man at the end, which
So that was the only okay part of the entire game. When I got to that point, because my homework for this call was to beat the game, and I did not succeed, and I'll tell you why. So I got to that point. It was kind of fun. Like, you were overpowered. It was some neat little attacks. That lasted, like, for 5 minutes. It got really boring really quick. And then you have to go beat up on your friend again. And I did that. And once I beat up on him, I think something failed to trigger, like a cutscene or something, and I couldn't progress. I had to turn off my game, start it back over. It put me about 40 minutes back. And I said, I'm done. game is so bad, I just don't care anymore.
I'm going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. MXC is apparently following this saga and says, yes, there will be sound, but when they add it as a patch in a week. I thought that was a thing. So you're going to play it again when they do audio?
Nope.
Dark Tetsuya in chat says,
why?
And it's disappointing to hear how terrible this is. I mean, how often do you hear about a new IP? Well, this is a new IP that costs $15, right?
Like, yeah, I got for like 13 because it was on sale.
So clearly they knew something was wrong.
Okay, I liken this to back at my Konami days. When we were working on a poker game, like 7 years after the poker fad had ended, and everybody thought it was a bad idea. They pumped all this money into it. They put out trailers. It was coming out for Xbox Live. And they finally realized it was not like just cut your losses and run. Don't put it out. Somebody needed to tell Square Enix to do it to this game.
Do you think Blizzard needs to be told that about Diablo Immortal?
I don't care. I love the Switch one. I'm having a blast with it. They can do whatever they want on mobile. I'm not gonna touch it, probably.
That's interesting how you can have that perspective where like mobile doesn't affect you and that like a game that you don't want to play doesn't affect you, and that's okay. Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, if it was some integration to a game I like, Final Fantasy XIV, that was terribly done, Final Fantasy XIV, then yeah, I might be upset. But this is a standalone game that has nothing to do with screwing up, you know, something I like, Final Fantasy XIV.
Other comments in chat. MXC wants to ask to both you and Loki, do you guys have anything to say about the fact that the protagonist is maybe in love with a woman who looks exactly like his dead mom?
Yeah. This game has so many issues. Seriously? I thought it was her at first. I was like, why is my best friend, who turns out to be the villain, like in all these pictures of with my mom that got shot, and he's looking like he does now? And then later on, I you know, because there's no subtitles and nothing that I can hear to tell me what's really going on, I put it together that she just looks like her and is not maybe actually her. I don't know. The game is dumb.
We don't know because you can't tell what's going on. But yeah, seriously, if
you're the actress in a different
wig. If you're somewhat interested in just to kind of know what we're talking about here, like, and the only reason I know any of this is because I watched the video that Jim Sterling did. He did like a 20-minute video talking about this game and showing off like the poor, like there's no animation transitions for one, which is another nice thing too. So like when you're punching someone, they're falling over, they just pop back up and then they get punched again and they fall back down and they pop back up again. You need to punch him.
The only way I went and watched it on Twitch the minute Shane told me about how bad this game was. I went and there was people playing it for extra life. Like I guess they were punishing themselves for donations by playing this game on their Twitch streams.
One of my favorite things about the game is that your walking animation doesn't look terrible. Because like parts of this game look okay. It looks like an up-resed PS3 game, maybe.
Seriously sounds like a CD-ROM game out of 1994. It really does.
But it plays like, I don't know, a Coleco game or something. But you walk into like a wall or an object, and your character gets stopped in the motion that he was in as he was walking into that object. It's not like he just stands still. He is literally stuck in that pose until you move. I don't know what this game is besides a waste of $13 or maybe $15.
Well, Shane, I appreciate you coming on the show to spoil the game to make sure nobody will ever play it. That was very kind of
you. Nobody should play it. Don't waste your money. If you want to like give somebody a bad present, that's it. But do you really want to risk your friendship?
Which game, since you brought up Konami in your years there, which game was worse, A Quiet Man or The Winx?
Oh, A Quiet Man. The Winx was awesome. What are you talking about? I enjoyed my time with that game. There's nothing enjoyable about this game.
We can talk about all that now, right? That you were like a tester on the Winx and all that stuff.
Yeah, I was in between DDRs and stuff. Yeah, I was on the Winx and it was fun. It was such a better game than this. There's so many games I used to think I hated, mm-hmm. and now I would welcome them with open arms. I remember I went to Blockbuster and rented Morrowind, and I thought it was so bad I took it back and rented Unlimited Saga, and that was bad too. And I thought that was the worst it could possibly get. And then I played The Quiet Man, and it's just... I wish this wasn't one of the first notable, deaf protagonists, if maybe the first notable one, because it's just a bad thing to be attached to, I feel like.
Shane, let's quickly... I got to get back to the show because we do have news to get to. But I thought since you did spend 15-plus minutes talking about a bad game, I would maybe give you 60 seconds to talk about Tetris Effect, a good game.
Oh, it's so good. I've played the demo so many times. I meant to play just the first three stages the night it released, and I played it for an hour and a half instead. And it was still just the same first three stages. You know what was weird, though, is I'm not 100% sold on the VR mode. I played it, and it didn't really grab me as much as I thought it would.
Interesting. So now we're 2 for 3 on VR, because Loki and Bobby preferred the VR. You don't.
No. Maybe if I had a headset on, too, that might have helped, but I was just using a soundbar and my VR headset, and I definitely preferred playing it regular to that.
Interesting, because the common theme I kind of heard with Loki and Bobby was that it was the immersion and the fact that it kind of took you out of the rest of your room. That was the big thing for it. So maybe...
Oh, maybe I was just too focused on the game that it didn't really change my perspective.
Bobby does say I had headphones on with a headset. What about you, Loki?
I had headphones.
Maybe that's okay. The trick.
That's probably it. That's what I'll need to do when it comes out for real. But hey, if you get it at Best Buy, you have to wait an extra week, so it kind of sucks.
Uh-oh. All right. Yep. Well, Shane, I guess we're going to have to invite you back on OLR in a couple weeks, because you and I are headed to Final Fantasy Fan Fest in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and maybe I will buckle down and beat The Quiet Man so you guys can all know exactly what I feel about it.
Yeah.
Because you haven't figured it out yet.
All right. Well, maybe you should wait a week for it to get this patch, apparently, that it's getting.
No. I have to play it in the original artistic intent.
That's right. It's not called The Loud Man. It's called The Quiet Man.
And it's not even necessarily a patch. They thought about it the second hand. That's how the game ends. They're all there's more secrets to be unlocked, and it has a countdown to the patch.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, this is so bad.
All right,
I hope
Shane.
The secret it unlocks is a way to get your money back.
All right, Shane. Well, the chatters really enjoyed hearing from you. SJ100 Matt says, Shane needs to come back more often, so don't be a stranger. We'll hear from you again soon, I hope.
All right. Bye.
All right, bye. All right. Thanks, Shane. And I'm going to bug him. Did you hear what he said about that Pokestop podcast thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to bug him about that. All right. One thing. Oh, I didn't get into this with Shane. I had it up in the background because this was important, too. Apparently, one of the big things about The Quiet Man is that a new song was written for it. So it actually has an original song.
Why would you waste the potential of that on this such a terrible game?
Get this. Do you know who that is doing the song? It's Imogen Heap. One of my favorite. Now, I know not everybody probably knows who Imogen Heap is, but she's legit one of my favorite musicians ever. Everybody knows that song Hide and Seek, because that's where the Dear Sister, all that came from.
Yes.
What you say? That was Imogen Heap, right? And all that Dear Sister on Saturday Live and all those parodies. That was Imogen Heap. A lot of people know her band Frou Frou with Guy that did the, I Must Be Dreaming, the one that was in the movie Garden State. So I think a lot of people probably have heard of Imogen Heap. But anyway, she did this song for The Quiet, and apparently it's a waste of talent. That's really unfortunate.
I think that plays at the ending credits or something like that, but it's, yeah.
So it's kind of like the Leona Lewis song of Final Fantasy 13. You don't hear it till the closing credits, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Interesting. All right. Spoiler alert.
But yeah, go watch the Jim Sterling video if you want to see what this game is all about. And honestly, after watching, no. I didn't know what this game was. And I don't care.
I know we're going to get an email that's really pissed off about the spoilers that Shane dropped, but honestly, he did you a favor.
It's a 2-hour long game. $15.
All right.
And most of it's cutscenes.
Let's get into some news. I don't really have a lot of announcements except for the fact that we will not be here in 2 weeks because of the Final Fantasy Fan Fest I just mentioned. Shane and myself and some of our other friends will be in Las Vegas. Actually, that Sunday we will be driving back from Las Vegas, but that is a 9-hour drive. I don't expect to be back in time for OLR, sadly. So we're just going to not have it that night.
All right.
All right.
So one thing we didn't mention during the whole BlizzCon thing is that Destiny 2 is now free if you have a Blizzard Battle.net account. So you can actually go in there on your profile, and they have like gifts, and you can redeem the base game for free up until the 18th of November.
Again, talk about it. I know I went off on this earlier, but talk about a missed messaging opportunity. I can't believe they buried that in the pregame show, and they didn't announce that. Why didn't they announce that on the stage? Now, to be fair, maybe the problem is that Destiny is not a Blizzard game, and so if the guy from Destiny had come up at BlizzCon, that might have had a really weird reception from the Blizzard fans, because I know not all of them are really into Destiny 2.
They know that the company is called Activision Blizzard, right?
I know.
Just saying.
But to be fair, like, if the dude came out, we'd probably be all like, who the hell are you? Get off the stage. But if he's out to say, hi, I'm giving away my game for free, I think everybody would be like, oh, okay, cheers and applause. Cheers and free game. Cheers and applause. Like, you know, they're not going to boo him off the stage for that. So I do kind of think that was a really, again, poor missed messaging opportunity on Blizzard's part, which is going to be a bit of a theme of BlizzCon 2018, I think. But if you have, free game and Destiny 2.
Exactly. I'm not sure. It was also free on PlayStation 4, August, I think?
It was like a plus title. Oh, boy,
yeah, it was in August or September or something like that.
Because, spoiler alert, the expansions aren't free, and that's what they really want you to buy. But
joke's on them. I'm not going to buy them.
You can still get a pretty decent experience with the free game, and you know why not? If you have a Battle.net account, which I imagine most of you do, and you don't have to buy a Blizzard game to get one, because like you can play the WoW trial, the World of Warcraft trial. Well, and Hearthstone is free, actually, now that I think about it. So you could just download it to play Hearthstone, and you're set. You can grab your free copy of Destiny 2, but only until November,
the 18th.
So again, about 2 weeks from tonight. So
yep. So go
get
that. Go do that. Even if you're not sure if you want to play it, it's always good just to put it in your library.
That's right. So it's not free until November 18th when they're going to pull it off your account, but register it now. It's free forever, basically, yeah. Because the real trick is they want you to buy the expansions. That's why they're doing this. Don't kid yourself. So, Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, once you get Destiny 2, please pick up Forsaken 2. Yeah, exactly. VidPower points out you do need Blizzard SMS on your Battle.net account to get your free Destiny 2 game. So they do want you to have the two-factor authentication, which, I mean, say what you will about that and maybe like giving Blizzard your phone number. But like in this day and age, you guys, I don't know about you. I have two-factor authentication on everything that will let me. Everything that will let me. Like, it's just that kind of world that we live in, when who's going to get hacked next. And especially, like, after having my Xbox 360 account hacked some time ago. That was probably, like, 10 years ago at this point. But still, like, you know, I don't want that shit to happen again. So you better believe I have two-factor authentication on everything. So, and I think it's a good idea. So, and then even for, like, my email, I will put the two-factor authentication, like, on myself and Alan. So, like, even if I ever get locked out or I lose my phone, at least Alan can unlock the most important thing. You know, that type of thing. So, anyway. Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Bonds006 says, not ever going to buy any expansion. Well, only the Warcraft 3 expansion, Frozen Throne. Well, how do you feel, though, when the expansions are finally bundled in with the main game? Because, for example, if you get Diablo 3 on Switch, people forget there was an expansion that really made that game a lot better. I don't even remember the name of it now. It's just Diablo 3 as I know it. I know they had Rise of the Necromancer was what they called when they released the Necromancer, although it really wasn't an expansion. But, they released all that, and now you just get it all in one. So it's
Hooray. Not
really an expansion, because the Ultimate Edition or whatever they call it. So, let's see. it's just a Reaper of Souls. Thank you, VidPower. Bobby Blackwolf is saying, the Quiet Man is on Steam, which means you can refund it as long as you don't play it for longer than 2 hours.
Which is how long the game is.
And Shane says, why would you put yourself through even 5 minutes? Did I make clear how terrible it was?
If you want to put yourself through 20 minutes, like I said, I recommend you go watch Jim Sterling's video on it, because he sums up basically all of the key features of why you would not like this game.
I love that Shane is continuing his campaign of hate by joining the chat room to
he
be like...
He's just doing a public service of like keeping people away from shitty games. There is no harm in that. And I understand that Square Enix is a company that I like as well, but you know what? When they make a crappy game that's not Chocobo Racing, then I'm going to call them out on that crap.
I love Chocobo Racing.
Exactly. They could have used the resources put towards this. We could have had a whole new Imogen Heap song for Chocobo Racing. You know, Crazy Chocobo by Imogen Heap. But no. No, instead, we get the Quiet Man. It's a crime, I tell you.
I'm just imagining Imogen Heap singing a bunch of lyrics that go like, work, 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 qua, work, work, qua. And it sadly makes sense. Like, I can really...
So, like, them doing, like, the whole, like, you know, you know, just, like, the Chocobo theme.
Yes.
But, like, with that, like, auto-tune.
Yes. That. Exactly yeah. that. All right. Hey, there was another big announcement this week around Super Smash Brothers. That's right. There was a big direct, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Direct that happened earlier this week. And lots of things were unveiled. And the earlier rumors, remember that really convincing rumor, the Grinch rumor and that whole thing?
No, that was not convincing. It's from 4chan.
Turned out to be fake.
Fake rumor from 4chan? That is so unreal.
Anyway, the one part that was real was like the even odds bet part that Ken is going to be.
Oh, well, there's already
a
leaked screenshot of Ken.
We knew
so.
Ken. Everybody knew Ken was coming. Come on.
Yeah.
They will be continuing to release new amiibo throughout 2019. So with all these new characters that are coming to the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, there will be new amiibo, including Isabel, Pichu, Ken, Young Link, Daisy, all of new amiibo coming in through 2019. Apparently, there'll be a Snake amiibo at some point. King K. Rool and Ice Climbers are going to be out on February 15th, 2019. Wolf and Ridley and Inkling will be the launch day amiibos. So,
the question is, are they still worth patching in? Well, I don't think they are in the Wii U anymore. I was going to say patching in those new amiibos to work with Mario Maker because that.
I think Mario Maker's kind of done, Loki. I hate to say it.
You need to bring it back.
I kind of wish they would bring it back.
I'm surprised they haven't remastered that.
I wish they would bring it back for Switch, but maybe that'll be a thing they do next year. Anyway, so no trophies. That whole trophy thing is going to be gone in Super Smash Ultimate. What they're doing instead, it is a spirit system. And not everybody, I think, is feeling this, but that's what it is. You will be able to fill your player with spirits, like an augment. You can do primary and support spirits, and they are used to power up the characters. You will win them in spirit battles. So basically, I guess, the aura of characters that were not included in the game, like Astro Man from Mega Man 9 and Chibi Robo. You can also do these with multiplayer mode. So, for example, if you fight a giant Mega Man in the Guts Man stage, you might get the Guts Man spirit. And then that's something you can use to augment your character a little later on.
Because they've killed everyone.
Yes. Apparently, you can feed and upgrade. You level up. You do missions. It's kind of, and one way I've heard this referred to negatively is it's kind of like a mobile phone. What do they call it? Gacha type of game. And even though that might be a big deal in Japan, they're not nearly quite as popular here. I don't think everybody is really excited about that. So, anyway, VidPower in chat says, poor Sakurai, he'll be working on Smash stuff forever. That's what, like, one of my favorite memes right now is that picture of Sakurai just looking dead ass tired that says, please never ask me for anything ever again. they announced that Piranha Plant will be the first DLC fighter. So Piranha Plant will be coming to the game. That is, I think, a free DLC character, actually.
If you buy the game before, like, January something.
Oh, that's right. You have to buy it before a certain day. So it's kind of like a launch window type of free thing that you can grab there. So you can also get a Piranha Plant amiibo with all those other things I was talking about. Some people are very excited about this. The final Smash will be PD Piranha. So that's from Mario Galaxy. Is where that reference comes from. So yay that they're still referencing that, I suppose. Didn't they announce one more fighter too? Oh yes, Incineroar was also announced as a playable fighter in the game, which you know, another Pokemon fighter, but it's kind of like a wrestling Pokemon. Like Incineroar really looks like a wrestler, so I guess there's a lot they can kind of do with that, so they can make it, you know.
Is Incineroar in the Pokemon fighting game?
No, I don't believe so, because Incineroar, if I remember right, comes from Pokemon, the newest one, Pokemon Sun and Moon, because he is Litten's final form. Yeah. So he comes from the newest one. I think Poken is before Gen 7. So okay. I think. Don't quote me. I'm sure I'll get corrected in chat momentarily if I'm wrong. Shane in chat says, Piranha Plant is not a part of the five upcoming DLC fighters, which is good. But Shane does point out Dasuidai is in Poken, and that is Gen 7. So I was wrong on that. Dasuidai is Rowlet's final form. So I forgot about that. So fair enough. Let's see. There's going to be a Fighter's Pass to support all these DLC characters. It comes not just with a DLC character, but there'll be a stage and all that good stuff. There'll be a World of Light adventure mode. Subspace Emissary is not coming back, but the World of Light adventure mode kind of looks fun, although obviously they're keeping a lot of it a secret because they don't want people to ruin it all. Apparently, Kirby is going to play a big role in that, which I'm sure made ActDeft very happy to hear. So, lots of news coming out about Smash. What do you think? Where's your head at with Smash? I mean, the reality is, the minute they announced they were doing a Smash Brothers for Switch, I'm getting it. Why wouldn't I get it? Like, it kind of doesn't matter what's announced and all this stuff. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not hyped or anything like that. But I just, you know, I just think the game's going to be great. It's a Smash game.
What
are
the chances you think Waluigi's going to be a DLC character?
Never say never, but I don't know. It would be funny if it was like the very last one they do, but I don't know, guys. I think sometimes the internet shouldn't get everything at once. let's just leave it at that. going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Kaijudo says, they better not make another Smash after this one. This is the ultimate. Just put it on every system here on out. SG100 Matt says, Sakurai is going to hide deep in the woods after this one. You know what? Honestly, after this, Sakurai should be able to make whatever fucking game he wants. If he has like a pet project, that, you know what? He should be able to make whatever fucking game he wants after doing this for Nintendo for so long. And as far as like Smash Brothers goes, you can wait a little while for another one. Or maybe it'll just get turned over to other people. Not that I'm saying Sakurai really shouldn't stay a part of it. But if Sakurai wants to do some other stuff, fucking let him. Jesus. First off, let him take a nap. That's the first thing he should do, is get to take a nap. Anyway, let's move on. We have plenty more news to get to. Loki.
So there was a new Undertale type game that was released. So Deltarune, which was a prequel to Undertale. I don't know if it was a prequel, sequel, but it's related to Undertale. And I guess they had this survey that went out as well, then it allowed you to actually download the game for free, if I remember correctly. So it's pretty cool. And then, I don't know. It's a neat-looking game, but I still haven't played Undertale yet. But I hear this one's pretty cool, and it has a lot of people wondering, you know, what the secrets are behind it. So mysterious.
Is this one of those things where like it's like going to be like an onion where many layers start unveiling themselves and how it ties into other stuff? And I don't know, like a whole like
something
Five
like
Nights
that.
Type story going
sort
on.
Sort of. But like they have, what's kind of cool about it is like they have a similar combat system in the game, but you can actually have parties instead of just like your single character. I don't know. It looked pretty cool from the video that I saw, but...
Some comments from chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Rama says, Deltarune is an anagram for Undertale. So, interesting. Fun fact. And then Dark Tetsuya, I'm sorry, it's actually SG100 Matt is saying, Loki, play Undertale and stream it also.
I have it. I just haven't played it yet. But I have it.
Story of my life. It's in my
library.
Steam collection.
Exactly. It's in my Steam library. Just haven't gotten around to playing it yet.
All right. Well, something that's possibly going to be added to your Switch library soon is the YouTube app. Lots of rumors that the YouTube app is finally going to happen on Nintendo Switch, so that could be interesting. This is due to the fact that the official Nintendo site put up a placeholder for YouTube on the Nintendo Switch. So apparently it will be coming to the system on the 8th of November. Now, there hasn't been any confirmation from Nintendo or YouTube on this, but, I mean, why not, right? So that would be this week.
Yeah.
Getting right into the holiday season.
Put Netflix on it while they're at it.
I know, right? But for whatever reason, that isn't on the agenda yet. But YouTube... You know, like, you would use that, right? Because your kids love YouTube, don't they?
Yeah, probably not necessarily on the Switch, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would I would see some use out of it.
All right. Well, let's move on. Just a couple more stories for you guys before we get to the classic game of the week.
One other game that I should be excited about, but I unfortunately am not excited about, that's Fallout 76. So Fallout 76, if you had pre-ordered it, you get the wonderful beta test that you get to participate in. So with that, there's been some hitches with the beta after all. So one of the first problems is there's a bug in the beta that actually re-downloads the beta. So as you're trying to launch the game or whatever, it unfortunately causes the client to delete itself and re-download itself, all 50 gigs of it. Sounds like an issue you might have had, but not necessarily with this game, but like similar to
when Quantum Break's patching thing on the Xbox One caused me to hit my Comcast data cap for the first time. But yeah, the minute you said that, like re-downloading 50 gigs, like if that happens 20 times, you're at your cap. I mean, and honestly, since you've already you probably use 300 or 400 megabytes in a month like I do, you got less than that.
Yeah, so like apparently there was an issue where like it would freeze up and then it would just force you to re-download the whole thing, so that kind of sucked. But apparently I guess they're working on maybe fixing it, I don't know. And then on top of that, a little bit more major bug though in actual gameplay and how the game is designed, apparently people have found that the physics in the game are tied to the frame rate that you're running the game at. So, for example, if you have a better system or you're, find a way that you can run the game at a higher frame rate, and you can actually unlock the frame rate using a small edit to an INI file, if you're able to run the game at a higher frame rate, you will move faster than other players or you will shoot faster than other players. So, for example, people have been looking at the ground a little bit to help, cause the frame rate to go up, and they're able to run faster than people that are on lower spec computers. That is stupid. You should never do that.
Yeah, like, sounds like a problem.
That is like amateur hour bullshit.
Dungeon Buster in chat says, well, Bethesda did say to prepare for spectacular bugs with Fallout 76. It is a beta, right?
You can't advertise that as a feature, Bethesda.
Bugs are not a feature.
I mean, some of them can be like quaint in like Skyrim and stuff. But seriously, that's some broken shit right there. Like, I don't know what modern game nowadays would even do that. Like, you always check the, like for example, in Unity, you would use a delta time so that you were always getting a consistent clock tick on your physics calculations or whatever, because you're able to see, oh, this frame came sooner than this last frame. It's always kind of, giving you a multiplier to speed and slow down everything based on whatever delay there is in your frame rate. But to just lock it to that frame rate is dumb. That's why, like, in some of these older games, like, that are, I can't think of anything in particular, but there's, like, some older games, like, if you try to emulate them or you try to run them on a faster PC, it just fucks everything up because, like, a game that was locked for 30 FPS, well, the physics are all based on the 30 FPS, and so when you unlock it to 60, everything goes all fucked up. And apparently this, from what I hear, was an issue tied to Gamebryo, which was, like, one of their engines that they were running back with Morrowind, but they incorporated some of that stuff into the creation engine when they were doing, Skyrim and Fallout and all that stuff. And they just, I guess they kept dealing. I don't know why they would do that. It's just really
is it
dumb.
Something that seems like it'll be fixable before the main game releases?
I don't think
though.
They can fix it.
Oh God, interesting.
I mean, it would be a major overhaul. I think
so. Consoles are going to be the way to do it because consoles, at least, are all kind of like the same.
They're
going
to be locked to. Yeah, they would be able to lock the frame rate, but PC, since you have that stuff exposed in an INI file, it's dumb.
Oh boy. Dungeon Buster in chat says, hey, let's attack this guy's camp. Other guy moves as fast as the Flash and kills everyone. Oh, never mind. That sounds a little game-breaking.
Like, it wouldn't be so bad if it was, like, a single-player game. But being that it's online multiplayer, not great.
Well, if you want to play a single-player game that's only...
I did want to mention, in case that there was any question, Bethesda says they're aware of the issue, and it says a fix won't be out until the game launches.
So they're going to try to work it out for the game launches, I guess.
Yes.
Interesting. All right. Well, if you do want to play a single player only game, then one of those games you can play is Tetris Effect. That's right, because Tetris Effect will not have competitive multiplayer, which is something that many people, I think, associate with Tetris, especially thanks to things like Tetranet or the original Game Boy Tetris.
But, yeah, but this is a little bit cable. More chill, so I'm like, and I can kind of see how it would.
I think that's exactly why they did this. You know, Mizuguchi talks about how Tetris Effect is really kind of to get in the zone, which is why you have that zone mechanic, and it's really, you know, what they're doing is really all about that. And a representative from Enhanced Games kind of, you know, expanded on this, named Mark McDonald, saying there's no direct head-to-head multiplayer because we don't want something that's going to stress people out. People would find a way to spell fuck you in Tetris pieces or something. Well, he's not wrong.
I think it'd be easier for them to draw a dick.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Anyway, we just want to make it into a positive thing where you see your friends playing well. And so I guess they do, like, you know, there's leaderboards, asynchronous multiplayer, the whole, you know, they did that weekend ritual during the test this weekend where everybody was working towards a common goal, which they hit before I could even log into the game. I mean, they hit it fast. But apparently, like, you know, you can do things where you're working together to make it meet a goal and maybe unlock a new avatar or something like that. So that's the type of stuff they want to do for multiplayer, but none of this, you know, versus stuff, which is interesting because if you played that mystery mode, which was kind of hidden in the demo, and by the time most of you hear this, if you're not live, you know, the Tetris Effect demo is probably already done because it was a weekend demo, and once they pull it, they pull it. And even if you downloaded it, you can't play anymore. But with the demo, they had the mystery mode in it, and it had all these ways to fuck with your pieces. Like, it wasn't just pushing it up. It was about, like, they would spin rows. You would have a giant piece. My favorite one was the one for a minute where you would get only three. Like, instead of it four-block pieces, you got three-block pieces. And it was actually kind of like a reward, I think, because you could put them into some harder-to-reach places and help to clear your board a little bit from some of the other ways that it would fuck with you. And then the one that completely got me, and if you watch on stream, I know I had a hilarious reaction, was when all of a sudden the entire image flipped upside down, and you just have to play the game upside down. And it really, like, you know, left is right, right is left, and it just, like, completely fucks with you. So, you know, because you're in the zone, it was a little rough. So, I mean, it has kind of that same intensity that multiplayer would have a little bit, I think. But, you know, for whatever reason, they decided not to put it in the game, and it's fine. It really sounds like there's going to be a lot of stuff to enjoy in this game, and I guess they're wanting to save something for the sequel, aren't they?
Sure.
Or maybe they don't want to step on the toes too hard with Puyo Puyo Tetris. Because if you want, you can play a purely competitive Tetris. You don't even have to have the Puyo stuff in it. You can just play Tetris on the Puyo Puyo Tetris. So maybe that kind of went into it. I don't know. But anyway, that's actually not the only game that's not going to have multiplayer. Sorta. This one's kind of surprising. Civilization VI, as we know, is coming to the Nintendo Switch. It's not going to have online multiplayer.
What?
Which, right? Now, it has local multiplayer. You can play locally, but it will not have online, which is something we've kind of gotten used to having in Civilization games ever since. Like, I think even the second one had it built in. I know the first one had CivNet, which was a re-release of the first one just so you could play online. But, yeah, like, online Civilization play has kind of, like, always been a thing. So it's a little weird that it's not in the Switch version. But apparently a Reddit user spotted something kind of weird with the eShop that talked about how you can play over local wireless. And it didn't talk about anything online. They say a 2K spokesperson said via email, Civilization VI for Nintendo Switch includes support for local cooperative and competitive multiplayer for up to four players via a wireless network. It will not have online multiplayer. That's weird.
Yeah.
Do they not want to run the servers for it or something? It's got to be something along those lines. I don't know. Especially when you consider, when did they unveil Civilization
VI? Is it going to have, like, local multiplayer?
Yes, I just said. It's going to have plenty of the local. Yes, you can do that.
That's a long time, though, playing Civ. I mean, you. I don't know.
Well, it might. Honestly, the LAN local.
Are we not trying to sell this online thing that they have? I mean, because. Well,
that's what I was just saying. When did they announce Civilization VI? Do you remember, Loki? What Nintendo Direct did they announce Civilization VI in?
During the multiplayer thing?
During the online presentation.
That's kind of weird.
Right? That's the weird part to me.
Did they go back on it and change their mind?
I don't know.
So what features are you providing us, Nintendo, with our online features? What? We have the free Nintendo games.
Dr. C in chat says, that's an important distinction. Civ 6 does have local multiplayer, though no online is a little weird. I mean, why not something like the play-by-email model where you can take your turn whenever? Oh, God, I forgot that was a thing. In one of the Civ games, I think it was Civ 4, you could play by email. So you would email your move, and then somebody would open it up, take their move, email it back. And that's how you would play. Like, it would take you a fucking year to get through a game of Civilization that way. But, I mean, I seem to remember this was a thing. Am I crazy, you guys, or was this a thing? That, like, board game enthusiasts would set up an entire board game, like, in their living room, and people would play via postcard.
Yeah.
Like, they would email write it on a postcard and send it, and play by mail. Like, that was a thing that people used to do.
You used to see that in the back of, like, these tabletop books and or, like, magazines or...
So, like, I'm not crazy. That used to be a thing. And so Civilization IV, I think it was 4. I'm sorry if I got the wrong version. But it had something similar, but it was email. You played by email. Kind of a fun little throwback to that, those sort of days. So... Azette in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, my dad did that with war games. VidPower says, mail chess. That's right. Chess was a big thing for
that.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, you can't do that with email and the Switch because there's no email.
Yeah, I know. There's no email on the Switch. I know. But it's a cute idea.
I guess you could tie it with your phone app because, hey, don't you all have phones?
What? You asshole. That is so funny. All right. Way to bring it full circle, Loki. All right.
Well, they do have that wonderful phone app that's only being
used for Splatoon. You know what? No, we shouldn't be inventing other ways that Civ can be online. They should just have the fucking online multiplayer. It's a weird thing to be missing.
People will just find a way to tunnel it.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says, online's not a huge thing with me for Civ games either, but it's unusual admission. Omission, excuse me. Bobby Blackwell says, the tagline for this episode is, don't you all have phones? You know what, though? To be fair... We don't put like show quotes in our title. Like, that just never took off for the show because we're too old, I guess. But I bet those shows out there that do name their shows I bet you that title's going to show up a lot. Because, you know, what do you mean you can't listen to this podcast? Don't you all have phones? All right. Anyway, let's go back to a simpler time when not everybody had phones, although actually I think with this particular game of the week, you did have phones, but it was like the very first iPhone. It was the very first
flip phones.
Yeah. Or flip phones. Is that like that old thing I used to, you remember my flip phone I had when we lived together? I was like, ooh, this thing takes pictures. And it was like 64 by 64, like little pixel size things. It was like grainy as fuck. Anyway, we're going to take a trip down memory lane with the classic game of the week. And so we're going to take a step back in space and time and magic and all that stuff and visit with Dark Sakura, thanks to Skype, for our classic game of the week. You there, Jamie?
I am.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's been a lazy day.
Yeah, lazy day. It's been a lazy weekend. But, you know, after Halloween, you expect, you know, you need a little recovery time. So I don't know about you, but my Halloween was crazy.
Yeah, mine was actually, I spent it at work. But it was still pretty fun.
Yeah, well, yay, that's a little crazy too. Crazy money. You're making some crazy money.
Yeah, really.
Oops, the wrong classic game of the week. Dark Soccer's going to step into the gaming vault and find one game that she thinks, hey, you brats should be paying attention to this game. But in a little twist on the year, once a month, she chooses a peripheral instead. So I believe tonight we have a classic peripheral of the month for the month of November. Am I right?
Yes, you are correct. I have chosen as our peripheral the Wii Balance Board, or as it was called in Japan, Balance Wii Bodo.
All right. And the music tonight is actually coming from Wii Fit U, because I had a really hard time finding the original Wii Fit, like, play stuff on YouTube.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Peripherals know no generation.
Exactly. Well, and let's be real. Wii Fit U is really just kind of like a cash-in to try to get people to come over to the Wii U.
Pretty much. Anyway, the Wii Balance Board first came out in Japan on December 10th, 2007. In Europe on April 26th, 2008. Australia, May 8th, 2008. And in North America on May 19th, 2008. And then in Korea in December 2008. So it does actually fall under a 10-year range thing for classic stuff, but peripherals, like I said, no generation.
Well, no, if it was May, yeah, no, we're past May 2018, so it's been over 10 years.
Right. Well, anyway, it is shaped kind of like a scale, like a full body scale. It's plain white and gray. It runs on 4 AA batteries, and it can power it for about 60 hours. It does use Bluetooth to connect and has 4 pressure sensors to measure your center of balance. So that's where it gets big control from, is being a center of balance alignment tool. It actually has been flaunted that it can measure weight better than the traditional bathroom scale. And it's designed to support, for the Japanese one, up to 300 pounds, and the Western version up to 330 pounds, even though they are technically still the same device.
They had to let us have a little more weight here.
Huh?
I said they had to let us have a little more weight here.
Well, it really is still the same one. It just has to do with the device calibration.
Ah.
But it actually has been compared to the Joy Board that came out for the Atari VCS in 1982. But, of course, you know, the Wii Balance Board is quite a bit more, I'd say, advanced. And so, basically, you can actually get Wii Fit non-skid socks that were provided to members of Club Nintendo. I know people who use the socks that were given at Kaiser whenever they had surgery. They're pretty much, you know, just no skid hospital socks. At any rate, there are a few games that will support the balance board. Of course, Wii Fit being the main one. It was actually said that, you know, there were lots of third-party inquiries, you know, after it was announced. But they were also saying that the most straightforward game to come out for it would be some kind of snowboarding game. And so Wii Ski by Bandai Namco was the first third-party game to make use of balance board. And it would also use the remote and nunchuck attachment as well. As far as games that will support it, there actually are a number of games that will, including All-Star Cheer Squad by THQ. The Biggest Loser, DDR Hottest Party and Music Fit, and DDR Revolution, although I don't exactly understand how it would accurately use it. EA Sports, NFL Training Camp, The Garfield Show, the Threat of Space Lasagna.
What?
Gets It with Mel B.
Oh, nice.
Another game by Marvelous Entertainment called Ikenie no Yoru. Avatar the Game, quite a few, of course, fitness game, Rayman Raving Rabbids TV Party, Punch Out used it, Super Monkey Ball Step and Roll, Tetris Party Deluxe. I'm just picking like some weird ones on here, and then of course WiiWare games were using it too, so there was that. But so a few other things about it is that it reads the center of pressure. It actually is a proven tool for assessing center pressure displacement, so it could be used for different medical conditions to help with balance and treatment thereof. It sold 32 million units worldwide at launch, and that means that it was awarded a Guinness World Record for best-selling personal weighing device. Huh. By January 2012, it sold 42 million units. And there you go, the Wii Balance Board. Balance Wii Bodo in Japanese.
I never really thought of that like there's so many different types of scales and things that you can buy for your home, that the Wii Fit Balance Board was so huge that it actually was the most popular scale for people to have in their home, in a way. It's so weird.
That it did.
Yeah. Video games, their impact. Amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Well, there it is, your classic peripheral of the month, the Wii Fit Balance Board. It was from, see, I thought this was going to be another thing, kind of like when you did Steel Battalion, how it was kind of like the game and the peripheral kind of go together, but really, not really. That's I kind of forgot like just how big this thing was and how many games all really supported it, because so many people bought Wii Fit.
Well, yeah, like, there's some other ones. Like, there was, like, the Champion Jockey Game. There was Dream Dance and Cheer, Don King Boxing.
So a lot of those, I mean, we know that the Wii ended up being, like, I don't want to say necessarily, like, a shovel ground for those, you know, fitness games, but kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, like, and I'm looking at just the list of, you know, non, you know, fitnessy game. Like I said, there was Rayman in there.
Yeah.
There was, well, Mario and Sonic used it.
Yeah.
Let's play Ballerina.
Okay,
but
Jamie,
when
will we play Ballerina?
That's something that would definitely need balance.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. It's like we kind of forget, I think, a little bit, like, just how versatile this was, you know, and it was a Nintendo peripheral that really took off in the way that not every peripheral necessarily does. Like, you know, a DDR dance mat wasn't probably used in that many games. I know it ended up being in a few things besides just DDR, but it wasn't like that many. You know, Guitar Hero, Guitar Controller doesn't get used in that many other games, although there was a couple here and there. You know what I mean? It's just the balance board is
right.
So big and hugely adopted. And 10 years old now, which, you know, means everybody out there listening, you know what that means? You're old too. Ha. All right. Well, Jamie, you know, sad to not have you in studio again this week, but I hope everything's going good with work, and I know we'll get you back in here soon. But anything else we need to talk about during your week before we head back to the main show?
I've started playing Magikarp Jump.
Oh, God, you were telling me about how you're addicted to that on the phone, right?
It's so stupid, and it's really cute.
Hey, what do you think about this? Because I know this is a controversy I'm quoting fingers. We're going to tackle tonight on the show, and I definitely would welcome your opinion because I know you're a fan of many Blizzard products, having played things like World of Warcraft and so forth over the years. But, you know, a really negative reception happening to the Diablo mobile game announcement. How do you feel about Diablo going mobile?
I'm be honest, I didn't even know it was happening until you just now said it.
Yeah, it was.
That's how out of Diablo I am.
Yeah, it was kind of their big announcement. It was the very end. I mean, which is interesting because they announced a Warcraft 3 remaster, and I got to be careful because I don't want to repeat what I'm going to say during the live show. But, you know, this was like the big tentpole they saved for the end was Diablo Immortal, their cell phone game. And a lot of people, like even at BlizzCon, somebody asked a question in one of those Q&A panels. It was like, is this an April Fool's joke? Which I kind of cringed a little bit because I was like, oh, that's like super disrespectful. But it also kind of shows like the fan base is like really mad, yo.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I think having a mobile Diablo, though, really isn't so much of a bad thing because it definitely expands the user base and it would definitely, I don't know, it sounds like it would actually be fairly good to have on a phone. I mean, it sounds like it would be fun.
Yeah. It's kind of a little bit where my head's at. Like, they could have announced it in a much better way, but I think at the end of the day, all of these haters are going to try it. It's going to be free. Like, I kind of think y'all are kidding yourselves if you're not going to at least download it.
Well, I'd probably give it a shot. We'll see. But actually, I kind of want to start playing WoW again. I've been paying for it. I may as well, you know, play it.
Good idea. All right. Well, Jamie, we're going to get back to the main show. Any other thoughts for our listeners tonight before we head back?
Vote and don't vote stupidly. Don't vote a party ticket. Read everything and vote after lots of research. That's all I have to say.
Voting is important, y'all. Don't forget about it. Those of you that are in the U.S., voting day is Tuesday, and hopefully y'all registered to vote already. But many states do allow you to register the day of if for whatever reason you missed it. Just don't forget to vote. You know, like as Jamie said there, educate yourself on the issues and vote accordingly. Please, please. Anyway, welcome back to Orange Lounge Radio, our 751st show already in progress. We've had a fun show so far talking about all this stuff with we had Shane on talking about The Quiet Man, which was a fun conversation. We were also talking about Diablo Immortal, which I was also, you know, pinging Jamie about a little bit there at the end of that segment. But while we were away in Radio Magic Land, you were looking up what memes about Diablo?
I was just reading Reddit, but like there's several memes already just with the whole online thing. So like they have one with Sakurai, you know, it's clearly from the Smash Direct. It's like some of you might be upset over the lack of basic online functionality built into the Switch, and then you see him just kind of sigh. And then it shows the phones up. Do you guys not have phones?
Great, great. When you manage to slam two companies in your meme, that's pretty impressive. And you know, while we were doing the first segment there, one of my Ingress buddies, who I think is actually listening, is that actually sent me a picture. I guess that was taken at BlizzCon. This isn't really a meme, but it's like a BlizzCon picture of like basically nobody playing Diablo Immortal. But I was like looking in the background. I'm like, okay, well, nobody's there. Like they took this after closing or something. Like you can see, there's nobody in the background either. I'm like, yeah. I don't think it's just that booth. But apparently, it was pulled from Reddit, and it actually says that it was during the concert, but there was nobody at Diablo Mobile, and some of the others had like, you know, 10 to 20. There was some other lines that did have people in it. You just can't see it in the picture, but it was during the concert, so a little bit of in between. But apparently not a lot of people in line to play Diablo Immortal at that point. So something that I'm sure Blizzard is noticing too. So apparently I know when I've gone to conventions before, they click how many people come through the line. Like, I'm almost positive the Final Fantasy Fan Fest is one of these. They'll have a clicker when you get to the front of the line and go play. So they know exactly how many people come through, and they'll be able to report that back. And if it seems like the Diablo thing is getting really low engagement for what was supposed to be their tentpole release, again, as I was kind of saying earlier, I don't want to revisit this topic completely, but I do think Blizzard is going to be like, okay, so, you know, again, 8:30 a.m. Monday morning, shut the door. What the fuck happened at BlizzCon, everybody? it's going to be a conversation. We'll have to see what follows up a little later. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, let's see. VidPower in chat says, the time of day matters too. There's a pic floating around with all of the Diablo Immortal stations being played at one point. Yeah, probably right when it first came out, because I'm sure there's a lot of people like me too. Like, if you haven't figured it out, I'm very much of this mindset of, I don't hate it. I'm probably not going to play it obsessively, but I'll download it and try it, and I'll be sad that I didn't actually get a Diablo 3 expansion, but then I'll remember that Blizzard's just fucking slow, and there'll be a Diablo 4 eventually, and this may or may not really be for me. But I'm kidding myself if I'm sitting here going, I play a shit ton of mobile games. I play Pokemon Go, Ingress, the Dragalia the Lost, and all this other stuff I was mentioning in the first segment. Like, of course I'm going
to
try it.
Could it be that people feel that they're entitled to bigger news because they paid $200 or whatever to get into BlizzCon?
When it comes to dude who asked, is this an April Fool's joke? Absolutely. Entitlement is, I think, a key word there. It's one that's being flung around on Twitter quite a bit. With, I think, mixed truth. But, you know, I think entitlement's sure. Like I said, that guy who asked that question, you paid $200 to be there. Congrats, kid. You played yourself. Blizzard got your money. And they don't even want money for Diablo Immortal to download.
Oh, well, let's just not. Yeah, they don't want money to install it on your system. But, oh, they want your money.
I know.
It's
of course,
Activision.
Yes, of course
they want
all
of your
money.
Your
they
money.
Want your money, but I think a big meeting is going to happen Monday, and we'll see. Anyway, I don't want to rehash part A. We got to get into some more news here in part B. If you want to rehash it, though, we will welcome your phone calls on all these subjects later. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Be sure to add us on Skype if you haven't already. Somebody was trying to get through last week and couldn't. It's because I hadn't seen their request and accepted it. So you do have to like add us on Skype. I think that helps you get through. I may have locked that down because of spammers some time ago. Because I don't know if you guys remember, we used to get like full on like faxes, phone. So I think you have to be on our contact list.
Speaking of spammers, like I hadn't checked my PlayStation messages for a long time.
Oh,
there's so many like bots.
Change your privacy settings so that only like friends of friends can message you. It'll help a lot.
It's just like, I'll delete, 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 delete.
Yeah, it's irritating. Totally irritating. All right, let's move on. Rapid fire news. What else do we have, Loki?
So there's a pretty good chance that Sunset Overdrive is heading to PC. This is because the Korean's rating board listed a PC port of the version of the game. Of course, also the ESRB has also added a listing for the PC version of the game as well. So perhaps we'll be getting a PC port soon, and maybe it'll be part of that whole, you know, expanded Game Pass service. I would definitely pick it up on PC because I wanted to play the game on Xbox One, but I don't have an Xbox One, so, you know.
I grabbed it on that lovely Games with Gold thing, so I can play it on Xbox One eventually.
Yeah. And then, of course, for the month of November, we have our free games now. So for PlayStation, we had originally kind of talked about rumor because they had leaked it out a little bit. But all of those rumor games are coming out. So Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition and Yakuza Kiwami on PlayStation 4. The Jackbox Party Pack 2 and Arkido series on PlayStation 3. And then the Vita games, which are also crossed by PlayStation 4. Burly Men at Sea and Roundabout. I already have Roundabout. Oh, I did buy that game, though. So that's going to be coming out as well in November. And then on the Xbox side of things, we've got Battlefield 1, which is that's pretty awesome. That's going to be out for the month of November. And then Race the Sun from the second half of November to the middle of December. And then your Xbox 360 compatible titles, Assassin's Creed for the first half of November and Dante's Inferno for the second half of November. Pretty solid lineup.
Yeah. I want to check out the Dante's Inferno because I never did when it was originally out.
I'd rather have Battlefield 1 than...
Yeah, but you know, I'm not a big Battlefield war game type of guy. But,
yeah.
I guess when it's free, it's hard to complain.
Yeah.
Bonds 006 says, Bulletstorm. I must say, I like that game. Yeah. Have the PS Plus stuff already gone live or is that this next week?
I think it's this next week. It was delayed.
The ones that are up now are definitely worth grabbing because they have the Tron-looking game is up there now and... Friday the 13th, I think?
Friday the 13th,
yeah. So I remember triggering something else on there, too. There's a lot of good stuff right now. So kind of a reminder to you guys
this
before
week
they pull those.
Yeah, they should be switching them over this week. So just get a chance to go grab that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Anyhow, we want to get to some more news, including Castlevania, which some of you are watching on Netflix. Netflix apparently knocking it out of the park with some of the Halloween programming. I'm seeing nothing but... Disclaimer, I haven't watched any of this myself. I've only... only like heard of it through other people, but apparently that the Haunting of Hill House show.
Yeah, my wife said it was
phenomenal.
Too scary to watch, so she's not watching it.
Oh boy, okay.
I was like, well, now I kind of want to see it, but
now you want to watch it. I hear Sabrina's great. The reimagining of Sabrina is really good. That's the one I really want to see because I actually liked Riverdale. And then apparently Castlevania is also really good. And like apparently in this season they actually incorporate Bloody Tears and some of the music is.
Yeah,
cool.
I wanted to see the first. I still haven't seen the first season yet. I need to watch it. But
well, you're gonna have to catch up because not only do you need to watch season two now, but there is going to be a season three. That's right. Netflix did confirm Castlevania will be back for a third season. It is going to be I guess the whole series is based on Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. But the anime has been pretty well received. Apparently the writing is really good, and the same writer is going to be coming back for the third season to continue as a writer and executive producer. Apparently big rumors that one of the show's executive producers, apparently Adi Shankar, may be doing a Zelda thing. Haven't heard a lot more than that than just rumors, but I think that would be really interesting. Also, and this is, speaking of like people wanting to do things, this didn't really make our show roll tonight, but did you see that whole tweet where Brie Larson, who's Captain Marvel, right? She's a Sacramento local, someone from our town. Brie Larson wore that Zero Suit Samus outfit for Halloween, and somebody kind of asked her about like a Metroid movie, and I'm paraphrasing, but she basically said, "Let's make it happen. I would love
to
do it."
Yeah, they said this is going to be the closest we're going to get to a live action Metroid movie, and she's like, "I hope not, because I would love to, you know, play that character."
And Brie Larson as Samus, I'm good with that. I'd like to see that. Yeah, I've been a fan of hers ever since Scott Pilgrim.
Oh yeah, she was in that.
Yeah, all those like Scott Pilgrim like throwaway roles and people in them, like they're all like huge now. Like it's kind of something else. It's weird.
That movie, by the way, is also on Netflix now.
Is it?
I saw that the other night. Oh, I want to watch that again.
I did, because you guys know on the side I do cult cinema hosting, right? I've done Rocky Horror for years, and I sometimes will do Repo: The Genetic Opera, Clue. I've done basic cult cinema hosting over the years. I had a lot of fun when we did a doubleheader. We did Kung Fury, which I know you're excited about.
Sad that I missed that.
Yeah, because we had Thor there in person.
That
we had the guy.
Been awesome.
Yeah. Doing the Q&A with him was fun. But then the second movie we did Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So I kind of got
everyone throw coins?
Oh, I wish we thought of that. That's a great idea.
Ooh, coins.
No, nobody really like threw things. It wasn't like total Rocky Horror. But there was something about watching it again on the big screen. I don't know if Shane's still in chat, but I dragged Shane to this. Because Shane won't see Rocky Horror, but he went to see this because it was like, okay, that I'd go see. And I think he actually had a really good time. And I did too, because there was something about watching it with a group of other people who are like just nerds and happy to be there, like that actually made the movie a lot of fun. So I don't know if that movie just came out at a bad time. It was ahead of its time. I don't know what, but that Scott Pilgrim's a lot of fun.
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. I love it.
And Shane gives his raving review in our chat saying, yeah, I liked it. And
great movie.
That's 5 stars from Shane.
Great movie and great game because yeah, they had the pixel art, you know, beat 'em up game. That was a great game.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, also in rapid fire news, the story I meant to talk about was the great PT debacle. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Apparently, Konami kills. Well, here's the thing. Apparently, the internet rumors started this big thing on Twitter, and I admit I bought into it because there was screenshot proof. So I thought, you know, but I guess it was. But anyway, apparently, Konami was accused of pulling the kill switch on PT, basically releasing a tiny little patch that disabled it completely. So it was a nasty little Halloween trick because a lot of streamers were getting excited to play PT on Halloween because what a good, you know, it was a great scary game. But apparently, through some follow-up and such, a lot of people are saying, I never got that patch. I didn't get that patch. It doesn't look like that patch actually exists. So either one person only got that patch, or they made up a nasty little Halloween
trick
themselves.
They made up a nasty little...
Now, before we all talk about how we should apologize profusely to Konami, here's the thing, though. The fact that it was believable as it was, Konami doesn't exactly have the best reputation in the gaming industry right now. And they did kind of dick PT over in a lot of other ways. Well, I mean, canceling Silent Hills was probably one of the biggest. But you know what I mean. Like, the fact that you can't even, like, download it and all this other stuff, it's a little
Well, it's also shitty. Not – let's not put it past them because, I mean, after all, they did also remove Hideo Kojima's name off the cover of
– Yeah.
You know, or any mention to him in, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5 and –
Yeah. Dark Tetsuya in chat kind of sums it up saying, yeah, this isn't really out of the realm of possibility for them to do so. That's not a good look. I mean, would you believe this story from any other gaming company? I don't know. But that was it over.
They seem like a special kind of spiteful to do something like that, though.
If you buy into all the talk about some of the stuff they did to Kojima and all this, apparently Naoki Madea, too. Like, apparently they're just not nice people, it sounds like. So, anyway, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates and some games that will be coming out to a game store near you or online very soon. Loki.
All right. So we've got on the Switch, Moonlighter. And then we have Carnival Games coming out on the Switch as well. De Rossini. I have no idea how to pronounce this. I think it's... Oh, but it looks cool, though. Duracini, I guess. It's a game by the Armored Core team from Software. It's a VR game, PlayStation VR. I'm down. I don't know what it is or how to pronounce the fucking name, but if it's a PSVR game from Software, yes.
Yeah.
Let's see. And then we've got The Forest, which is a survival game on PlayStation 4. Grip on the Switch, which I believe is a racing game. Omen of Sorrow on PlayStation 4. Overkill's The Walking Dead on PC. And World of Final Fantasy Maxima on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
Oh, yeah. I forgot they were re-releasing that. Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, last but not least, on Friday, Tetris Effect on PlayStation 4.
Some comments with releases in our chat. Shane says Loki is going to be so disappointed with that VR game from Software. Is there reasoning? Is there evidence to support that claim?
I don't know.
I'm curious
maybe,
what that's about.
Maybe I will be. I don't know.
S2100 Matt says, yeah, The Forest. Great, creepy game.
I could be. You know, I have to look up some screenshots now because it's possible. Maybe my expectations are too high. I'm
you? High expectations?
It's all from right. Software, though.
Shane says it's like you're a ghost or something in a school.
Oh, lame.
All right. So it's not a MechWarrior game, then.
No, right. That would be the one that's coming on the Switch at some point.
That's why. All right, well, let's travel over to Japan and check out some of the releases over in Japan. So this week, there's really just one to look forward to on the PlayStation 4. It's Deracine, I think is how you would
That's
pronounce
that. That's the one that I was just talking about.
Yeah, Deracine is also out in Japan this week. So I guess it's a worldwide release, if you will. And that really does appear to be the only major release on the PlayStation 4 this week. Vita is slowing down, as we kind of alluded to earlier in the show. They have no releases this week. The Nintendo Switch has a little bit more going on, though. They have Pikachu Kit, Game Day Pyramekke Daisakusen. And then they also have some amiibo coming out on the 9th. Their Splatoon 2 series with the Octoling Girl, Boy, and Octopus. That is all out in Japan this week.
You know, now that I read up on this, it's a VR debut from director Hidetaka Miyazaki and From Software. Miyazaki and From Software together, probably going to be
Nino
pretty...
Kuni, right? No, that was level 5. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I'm a little bit more optimistic now, but we'll check it out.
All right. Anyway, let's move over to the UK. Loki, do you have those two?
Yes. So coming out in the UK, probably kind of the same type of stuff. We have Carnival Games on the Switch, Grip on the Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Ride 3 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and PC. 1111 Memories Retold on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and the Switch. Moonlighter on PlayStation 4 and the Switch. Hitman 2 Gold Edition. That's going to be coming out on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. And then, actually a few more. The Sims 4 expansion, Get Famous. Minecraft, that's on PC. Minecraft Story Mode Season 2 on the Switch. And the Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams Ultimate Edition on the Switch. That's it. I didn't see any, no Tetris effect over there.
Yeah. Or maybe it's online only or something. I don't know.
Maybe they're not doing a physical release over there.
Maybe. It's just not on your list for whatever. It's strange.
No.
All right. Well, anyhow, let's go to the mailbag, because every week you guys would send us emails over at participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us emails. And this is the part of the show where we would read them if we had any. Sadly, it's an empty mailbag this week.
Oh, I guess we got to talk about what
you
was
all
it
have
they were talking
failed
about?
Us.
Drag Race, or what was it? That...
Oh, that's right, because we have to fill in talk with Drag Race. When we don't get emails, we have to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. Okay, they're going to be doing a RuPaul's Drag Race Christmas special this year. That was announced this week. A one-off Christmas special that is going to feature Trixie Mattel and Latrice Royale and a lot of these big names, plus some people we haven't seen in a while, like Sonique from season 2. But Shangela's in it, and considering all her Game of Thrones references, the fact that she was robbed in All Stars 3, the fact that, you know, with all the Game of Thrones, she could just say winter is coming, and that she's known for a lot of her Christmas looks, like, just fucking crown it. Like, Shangela's already won. It's going to be Shangela versus Trixie in the end, but this time they're going to crown Shangela. And that's how WoW, World of Wonder,
and everything
gonna,
will be balanced, as all things should be.
That's right. Everything balance will be. As much as I love Trixie Mattel, I really do. All Stars 3 was some messed up stuff. Don't you agree, Loki? Wasn't that messed up, All Stars 3?
Having no context of what you're talking about right now, I will. I'll hesitate and agree, yes.
Okay. All right, that's enough punishment. Let's get into some more gaming news. But if you want to talk about something other than RuPaul's Drag Race, you can send us an email. participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send us an email in a future week. Loki.
So, we finally got the announcement of the full roster of games that are going to be a part of the PlayStation Classic. So, starting, and apparently it is in different regions, they have different games. So, let's start off with what we're getting in North America. Battle Ryu Toshiden, Cool Borders 2, Destruction Derby, Final Fantasy 7, Grand Theft Auto, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, and Wild Arms. So those are all going to be coming to the North American version. Lots of games that I'm surprised are missing from that list that I would have thought that they would have been there. Like, you know, Parappa the Rapper might have been one, or even like Einhander or something like that. Now in Japan,
it's all stuff that's being remastered. It's right. All stuff that's been remastered somewhere else, so they don't want to put it on this.
But Japan seems to be getting the better of the two, you know, releases, because over there they're getting Ark of the Lad, Ark of the Lad 2, Armored Core, Gradius Gaiden, I think it's Psy, Saga Frontier, G Darius, and Parasite Eve. Those are all the exclusive ones. And then on top of that, Ridge Racer Type 4, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Puzzle Fighter, Tekken 3, Battle Ryu and Toshiden, Resident Evil,
Final Fantasy VII, Mr. Driller, Persona, Metal Gear Solid, and Wild Arms. I would rather have the Japanese one.
I mean, well, there's a lot of strong opinions to this in our chat room. I'll get to that in a minute. But I got to say, like, I wasn't really super on board with PlayStation Classics to begin with, just because I'm feeling the classic system burnout. Although, earlier tonight, before our shows went on air, Bobby and I were having a conversation because we were coordinating the because we're doing something special for post-show tonight, so we're coordinating that. But we also kind of talked about it. He was like, hey, Rob, did you know the Commodore 64 Mini finally got released in the U.S. officially this week? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. Shit, I kind of want to buy that because I heard about the whole you can load D4 or D64 images on a USB stick and, like, play them on the USB Mini or on the Commodore 64 Mini.
Yeah.
So it opens, like, I could play whatever game I want, basically, because – I mean, shit, that system's like 35 right. years old. I think everybody's given up their copyright on that.
That
you know?
Is really the only reason yeah. why I want one of these is because that shit is going to be broken up day one, and I can put whatever the fuck I want on there, you know, if I want to play. Driver, for example.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, now that I think of it, why aren't some of these games on there?
Yeah.
And actually, I'm surprised Armored Core is on there because that I thought was something that used the DualShock a little bit.
Well,
know?
So does Metal Gear Solid, infamously.
But
when you put it on the table and it shakes, remember that?
But
I won't be
they,
there.
Yeah, they're not going to have that. Yeah. Obviously, they're going to save that for the second one.
Yeah, yeah, of course. They're thinking ahead like that. But I think maybe they're saving too much for the second one. They should have thought ahead and made this one expandable. I thought when we got into the whole fact that this should have just been like a Vita TV loaded with PlayStation games, like I thought that was really honestly the brilliant idea because you'd download more on the internet. But whatever, it's not going to be that. And I'm a little burned out on the classic systems. And I think it's great that some deep cuts like Super Puzzle, well, really Intelligent Cube is the deep cut. Well, and that's a hard to get collector's
get me wrong,
item.
Like stuff like 16-bit and NES games look pretty nice when it's up-res mm-hmm. and stuff in like, you know, 4K or even just like a 1080 or whatever.
PlayStation
1 games, not so much. The low quality textures, low poly, doesn't age as well as, you know, a 16-bit game that's all sprite-based. I mean, it's just, it's not the same. And I think even like with the Nintendo 64, that's going to be kind of cutting it a little bit. I mean, granted, I'd still probably pick it up because I love the Nintendo 64 as well. But I had, even going back and playing like Ridge Racer Type 4, it's like, I don't remember it looking this bad.
Going to chat, Bobby Blackwolf is talking about the Commodore 64 Mini, saying it was broken up by the hardware manufacturer. It's not even a third-party firmware update. It's a first-party firmware update, the official site. I mean, it might be a little less cool for you, but whatevs. Yeah, I mean, important distinction. That Commodore 64 thing is like an official update that's supported by the makers. It's not
cool.
They are, yeah, which, yeah, I think that is cool. But again, and you can also, I guess I'm going to just talk everything that Bobby and I talked about off-air. But Bobby and I were talking about how funny would it be to do a live stream on the VOG channel or something where we type a program in from the back of a magazine live.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Why wouldn't that be awesome?
I think it would. There is a category on Twitch for computer programming or something like that. So,
well, I know there's game development. Cause,
that's it. That's a game
like,
development.
Because I try to, like, that's the thing. Is like, you know how they have all those tags and stuff? I try to tag my stream, my streams I do, with some relevant tags, but they're all like for the IRL stuff. So I'm like, well, crap. I can't, none of this really applies to what I'm doing.
Our chat room is lighting up. And so, you know what? All I'm going to say is this, please look forward to it. I think this is something we're going to have to do. The official typing in for my, maybe we'll have to do it for charity or something. Let me get a charity thing. Like, I'll do it for part of
the day.
I
really want to do, like,
Bobby can do it.
The Extra Life thing would have been awesome if I got, like, you know, a day to myself and be able to,
I know.
Get a Stepmania machine put in there.
Dark Tetsuya says, make sure you have a USB keyboard. You'll have to use the Hunt and Pet keyboard, and you'll be there all day. Honestly, I feel like it'll go by faster on a real keyboard. Like, I know how to type on those now. Like, when I was, like, because remember when the Commodore 64 was out, I was, like, 6. So I was doing the Hunt and Peck thing until, you know, I used my typing tutorials, FFFJJJ, FFFJJ, to learn how to type. But anyway.
I never learned how to type.
Okay, it wasn't supposed to be about the Commodore 64 Mini, although I guess maybe you guys are responding to that more positively. but I do want to read some comments about the PlayStation Classic Mini. SG100 Matt says, some of those games are pretty good. ActDef says, the PlayStation Classic sucks big time. Shane says, this list announcement caused me to cancel my pre-order. Dartusia says, I do appreciate them including Toshinden and IQ, but a good chunk of those games support the DualShock. Orange Wright saying, it's cool to see R4 at least. Yeah, that's...
R4's like... But see, that's the thing, too. Like, R4 is a pretty good game. Cold Warriors 2, I think, is better than the first one. But, like, I guess, like, with Twisted Metal and stuff, that maybe it's because, you know, the other games use the DualShock. Like, I would have thought Twisted Metal 2 would have been a better choice. Or, like, I don't know. Like, even with... I don't know. Some of these, like, I just don't see... Mr. Driller, really? Is that, like, really worth putting in there? I mean, it's an all right game.
That game was pretty huge, I think, in other areas that weren't necessarily the U.S.
Yeah. Or Grand Theft Auto. I mean, the original Grand Theft Auto is kind of... it's old. It's so old. I don't remember... San Andreas and all that stuff, that was all PlayStation 2. That was the only problem.
Well, people are going to think Grand Theft Auto... is like, they're going to see that and think, oh, it's like the new ones, and then kind of be a little disappointed.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, anyway, let's move on to some other things that were announced at BlizzCon. Again, this is one of those things I'm kind of surprised they didn't do on the main stage. But it was something they kind of, you know, had out there on the show floor, maybe because it was third party. I don't know.
Well, I thought they announced this before...
I think they announced the partnership between Lego and Overwatch, but we got details, I think.
I don't know. I saw those earlier in the week, but maybe that's just they leaked out or something.
Well, whatever. Anyway.
I still want them.
6 Overwatch-themed building sets. That's the point. With vehicles, characters, and weapons from the game. Starting next year, there's a Tracer versus Widowmaker set where you can do the drone satellite from Watchpoint Gibraltar. There's a Hanzo versus Genji where you're in the Hanamura Dojo. That's pretty cool. Dorado Showdown will be Soldier 76, Reaper, and McCree in buildings from the Dorado map. And there's a D.Va and Reinhardt set with a buildable mech suit and a powered armor that the heroes will bring into battle. So it's kind of like, you know, their characters are much more involved because you build the whole mech and then you build the whole Reinhardt shield and all that. So that's pretty cool. There's a Bastion set with a buildable version of the character, and you can do both recon mode and sentry mode because Legos, you can change it. So that's kind of fun. There is a 730-piece Watchpoint Gibraltar set with Mercy, Reaper, Winston, and Pharah. These sets will start at $14.99, which is probably for that smaller, maybe the Hanamura set, and go all the way up to $90, probably for that Watchpoint Gibraltar, because Legos ain't cheap. So anyway, you can start getting these on January 1st, 2019. That's
actually, you can start getting them now, because they have that one Bastion set. It was the alternate skin or whatever that you can actually get through the Blizzard store. Mm-hmm. You can get that now.
That's cool. I wonder if since my husband likes Overwatch so much, I wonder if he would want me to spend all that money on Overwatch Legos. I don't know. Yeah, he's making an noise from the other room. ActDef does say in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, $90 is kind of too much. It's also kind of...
Have you looked at Legos lately? That's not...
You must not shop for Legos often.
It's a good thing that's not Star Wars.
Yeah, right. All right. Anyway, a few more stories before we get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. Loki.
With their stupid $799 Millennium Falcon. Yeah, they can shove that $799 up their ass because they ain't never going to pay that. So anyways, talking about classic collections, Sega Genesis classics are going to be coming to Nintendo Switch in December, and you're going to get 50 classic Sega Mega Drive and Genesis titles. And there's a lot. And I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll read some of them that I think that you might like. So, for example, let's talk about Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, or we have Alien Storm, or Altered Beast, Columns, Comic Zone, of course, Golden Axe, Golden Axe 2, Golden Axe 3, Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4, Shining Force 1 and 2, Sonic the Hedgehog 1, 2, 3D Blast, Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3, Toe Jam and Earl 1 and 2, Vector Man 2, and Virtual Fighter 2, among lots of other games.
Most of the same shit Sega's released over and over again over the years. Although, I feel like they don't do Alex Kidd stuff enough, so I'm happy to hear that's coming back.
But it's going to be on the Switch because, you know, that's December 7th. And because, of course, they're not doing, you know, Virtual Console anymore, so this is why it's all in a collection. Which, actually, probably for the money, you're going to get a better deal than if you bought those all separately on a Virtual Console.
Oh, for sure. But now I think about it, since I brought up Alex Kidd, why doesn't Sega bring that kid back? It seems like one of those old franchises that's really due for a reboot that for whatever reason has never happened. That's weird. Is it because Sonic kind of took over all their platforming, so they have that tunnel vision, and that's all they want to release is when it comes to platforming is Sonic? I'd love to see a new Alex Kidd game.
Alex Kidd doesn't have enough stupid friends to bring along for the ride.
Well, invent some. Alex Kidd and Shinobi World, you know, all that.
Maybe Alex Kidd could get introduced as one of Sonic's friends, and then we'll spin it off into...
Well, and I'm sure somebody in chat's going to have already said this, but Alex Kidd was in the Sega All-Stars racing game. Hmm. The one with Danica Patrick.
Oh, yeah, that new one's supposed to be coming out.
I got delayed, remember?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, I got pushed back a little bit. So I think that was a couple weeks ago we talked about that. So anyway, something else you can look forward to, and I'm sure you will be looking forward to this, a brand new Bubsy game. I can't even say his name
right.
Fuck
that shit.
Bubsy. It's Bubsy. That's right. Aren't you excited that there's a new Bubsy game
coming
out?
No, I'm not. He is an obnoxious piece of shit.
Bubsy, Paws on Fire, will be coming out for PC, PlayStation 4, and Switch.
Wanted this? Who wanted Bubsy? Nobody fucking wants Bubsy. Apparently people bought the stupid Bubsy game because otherwise they wouldn't be making another Bubsy game.
Well, Bubsy will be bringing along three of his shitty friends for four playable characters that each one has their own unique playstyle, according to the press release.
Oh, wow. That's so 2019 or 18.
New moves never before seen in a Bubsy title. And over 100 levels. And they say, I love this, this is in the press release, Paws on Fire is a game for Bubsy lovers and haters alike.
No, if I hate it, I'm not buying it. Stupid.
I love it. I love that in the press release, this one's for my haters. This goes out to my haters.
You know what? If you're going to bring back old-ass platformer games, then I want a fucking new Gex game, goddammit. Gex deserves another game.
Now, ActDef in chat points out, the only good thing about this is that it's made by the people from the Bit Trip Runner series. It does look like this is a runner game, which is how they made 100-plus levels. It looks like it might be a runner title, which, you know, Loki, before I know you, I feel the judgment coming off of you, but those Bit Trip Runner games are pretty fucking good, I gotta say. So, I mean, if they're just slapping Bubsy onto that, I mean, downgrade.
You know why they're good? Because Bubsy is not fucking in those games. That's why they're good. Nobody said, hey, you know what these runner games need? They need more Bubsy.
Raginator in chat says, new moves never seen before in a Bubsy game. Is that feature make it fun? Is Shane still listening? Shane, if you're listening, I got a question for you. Which was worse, The Quiet Man or Bubsy 3D? What do you think, Logie? Which one's worse, The Quiet Man? Which would you rather be forced to play for an hour, The Quiet Man or Bubsy 3D?
Bubsy 3D.
Shane confirming in chat that The Quiet Man was the worst game.
Exactly.
So, Bubsy, you got that. At least you're not The Quiet Man.
An avant-garde Bubsy. Yeah, that's all I need to see.
Yeah, and the trick in Bubsy is that there's no sound whatsoever. Anyway, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we'll take your loud phone calls over on Skype at Orange Lounge Radio. Loki?
So, it's that time, the time when all of your modern systems get emulated. And what system is next on the list? Why, of course, it's a Nintendo Switch. So apparently there's this emulator called the Yuzu emulator that has managed to run Super Mario Odyssey completely through the whole game. So it does work in the emulator. Granted, there are some graphical glitches and some slowdowns, but it is playable and you can play from the beginning to the end. So, and they even have a way where you can download the patches and everything. So, pretty far progress considering that this is the first I'm hearing of it. So I'm definitely on board with seeing what they're going to do with this. Of course, no good things, obviously. It's going to be modded like crazy. Bowsette's going to be in here in like a matter of time. Just got to wait. The TTB.
Joy. Did you hear that Nintendo confirmed this week, by the way, that hat can't be used on any other characters? It can only be used on Toadette, or what is it? No. Yeah, the hat is only used on Toadette to make Peachette. You can't use it on other characters. So, just so you know, everybody, Nintendo has officially confirmed Bowsette is not canon. So please remove her from the internet now.
You are wrong, and I'm going to point out why you're wrong. It's because in an official art book, for Super Mario Odyssey, Nintendo, actually, before the internet came up with Bowsette, came up with Bowsette. It's already a thing. It's already canon.
Yes, but then it was deleted, as all of your accounts ought to be. Just saying. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, Switch emulators already. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, but I'll stick with my official hardware. Yeah, it could be, you know, it could be risky. Probably going to be very buggy, too. And Rama in chat, in reference to my Bowsette hating, says, Dear Rob Roberts, we will reject your false notions.
I don't know, though.
Deal
like,
with it.
Honestly, though, like, the emulators that run Wii U games and stuff run them better than the Wii U. So, I mean, this I can't see that this wouldn't be that difficult to... I mean, yeah, it's probably not running great right now because they haven't optimized a ton of stuff, but it will get there, I think. And then we'll have 4K Mario Odyssey and modded craziness.
All right. Well, one more story for you guys. And chatters, behave. Stop dragging me because this is a serious one to end on this note tonight. The inspiration, or I should say the namesake, maybe not totally the inspiration, but the namesake for Nintendo's Mario character actually passed away this week at the age of 84. Mario Segale. I hope I said that name right. S-E-G-A-L-E. Segale. Mario Segale actually passed away this week again at the age of 84, passed away on October 27th. Who was he? He was not a plumber. He developed office buildings and malls in Washington State. He actually sold this all in 1998 for about $60 million. In the year 1981, he was renting a warehouse to Nintendo of America. And Miyamoto created the Mario character, but of course, originally the name of the character was Jumpman, and then the girlfriend was Lady. Well, at some point, Nintendo wanted proper names, so they named the hero Mario after this landlord. And then Pauline was actually named after a wife of a Nintendo of America employee. So that is where the name came from, believe it or not. He apparently rejected his connection to the Mario franchise because he thought it might harm his business ventures. In a 1993 interview with the Seattle Times, he just said, "You might say I'm still waiting for my royalty checks." Regardless, it sounds like Mario may not have been named Mario if it wasn't for him. So whether he likes it or not, I suppose he's forever a part of that video game canon. But interesting to know that Mario, the name, had nothing to do with a plumber or any of that other stuff that goes with the lore behind the Mario character. In chat at live.vognetwork.com, Dark Tetsuya says, I mean, just think about different things would be if it weren't for him. That's right. I mean, if the real estate developer had been named something else or they decided to name it after another character, I mean, Mario is iconic. Mario is a Mickey Mouse for this generation. Like, everybody knows Mario. If you're, you know, under a certain age, even if you're over a certain age, you still probably know who Mario is. SG100 Matt says, this is like Spielberg naming the shark in Jaws Bruce after his lawyer. I'm not so sure that was a compliment, though. Tiger Claw wants to know, where did the name Luigi come from? Good question. It wasn't really addressed in the Mario story, so I'm not sure where Luigi came from, but I'm sure it's got to be out there on the internet somewhere. If you can weed your way through all the Bowsette photos, you can probably figure out where that came from. I'd be curious, too. Dark Tetsuya says, oh, check out the brain on Dr. Tetsuya. Dr. Tetsuya says his name is a Japanese pun on the word for similar, since he's similar to Mario's sprite in Mario Brothers. Hmm. Clever. And if you think about it, Luigi wasn't in Donkey Kong. They didn't have to name him when they named Mario. So he was named later, probably when they did the Mario Brothers game, which would have been after Donkey Kong. So because there was no Luigi in Donkey Kong. So food for thought. Anyway, our Skype line is open if you want to give us a call. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, to give us a call on Skype for the night. And we can talk about, I don't know, Diablo. I guess if you want to talk about Bowsette, we can, although I'd rather not. But we can talk about whatever you want over at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. While we wait for our phone to ring, Loki, do you have any last-minute stories?
Yeah, so the Nintendo Switch has reached 22.86 million units sold. That's surpassing the GameCube lifetime sales. So that's pretty good in comparison. Of course, the 3DS has sold 73.5 million units, and the Wii U, 13.56 million units.
We have a call coming in. Let's get to it. I'm going to pick up the phone here. By the way, we did get a reprieve on the Skype thing. Skype is still working on Windows XP. I guess Microsoft pushed back the time to pull the plug for whatever reason. Anyway, I think we are there. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Hello, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this? Not working. Try calling without the video. I think the video is slowing you down. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Sorry about that, Loki. Do you have something else to fit in there?
Speaking of numbers, PlayStation 4 shipped 86.1 million units worldwide. So
that's a lot of PlayStations.
That is a lot of PlayStation. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their gaming revenue is up 27%. Profit up 65%. So don't let them tell you that they don't have enough money because they're making plenty of it.
All right, we're going to try this call again, see if it comes through. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, this is Rachel here. Sorry about that. Connection problems over on my end.
Apparently. That's all right, though. We got you now. What's up, buddy? What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, well, granted, I'm a little late to the show. Sorry about that. I had other commitments, but...
I see how it is.
Yeah, well, sometimes real life happens. But seriously, though...
We are your life now.
Well, I could say something, but I'm trying to keep this radio appropriate.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good idea. Yeah,
yeah. But seriously, though, now, since you were talking about the PlayStation Classic that'll be coming out this holiday, you know, I have a question for you. Do you see yourself picking this up, or do you see yourself passing it in, whether, whatever your answer is, please explain either way.
Yes, sir. I think I did kind of mention it earlier, but I'll just reiterate. My plan is to pass on this, and the reason why is that I'm a little burned out on all the classic consoles. I think it's a little ridiculous that the PlayStation 4 just won't play the PlayStation 1 games that I still have in the case ready to go to play on it. And I realize something can be said about, you know, well, then why would you buy an NES Classic when you have Nintendo games? Which, I mean, I suppose is fair, but at the same time, those, you know, at that time, to buy the little NES Classic, the SNES Classic, those were super cute as well. And I'm not saying the PlayStation Classic isn't cute, but they did make some questionable design choices, such as omitting the DualShock, such as charging $100 for 20 games. Sorry, but I don't think these games are worth that price tag that they're putting out. So I kind of all those things together does it in for me. But you know what I did pay money for? I should point this out. So my little collection that I have of these classic arcade games, right?
Yeah.
I picked up this Burger Time one. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago because that's like a fancier one, right?
Yeah.
I picked up two brand new ones at $35 a pop. I just haven't put them out yet. I wonder if Alan just went in the other room and grabbed them. I don't know. But yes, he did. He's bringing them in the studio now. So the two new ones I just bought this weekend were Mappy, which I thought was pretty cool that there's one for that, and Dig Dug, because I want...
Nice.
I'm actually, like... Dig Dug is kind of that 80s game that I'm actually okay at. Like, I can actually play it quite a bit. So, Alan wants to give some input on all of this. Apparently, my classic gaming collection hobby. Yes, Alan?
The one thing that I dislike about the new series is that they're slightly bigger than the series 1 and 2, so they don't look like they belong.
They're different companies. They're not the same. Like, they're not the same companies making them, so that's why.
I retract my statement.
Okay. Hey, oh, wait, before you run away, why don't you answer our caller's question? Would you buy the PlayStation Classic for $100? Why or why not?
I would. Just, I mean, I would.
No, you will not.
I would need a lot of, like, a windfall of money where I would buy something that frivolous, but I'm not, like, offended by what the plan is or what games are on it or anything.
Okay. All right. Loki, what's your perspective on that? Thanks for stopping by. Loki.
I don't know if I have an extra $100 to dump on that. And also besides, I bought a ColecoVision, one of the plug-and-play classic things. I haven't used it. I bought an SNES Classic. I've hardly used it. So buying this again would be like, I probably won't use it. That's why I probably wouldn't buy one. I do want one so it can hack it, but that's about all I want.
Interesting verbiage from Bobby Blackwolf in our chat who says, I'm skipping on the PlayStation Classic because I don't have the emotional connection to the system.
Right, and that's the other thing, too. It's like, honestly, like, it's really easy to emulate PlayStation 1 games. You can do it, and it looks...
It's easier to emulate NES games.
It's incredibly easy. Yes.
But yet, I don't know. Well, I don't... Raginator, do we give you what you were looking for? What's your opinion on it all?
Yeah, well, I'm tempted to get one, because I do have the emotional connection. I did have a PlayStation 1 way back in the day. In fact, I got mine back in April of 97, a couple weeks after I got the N64. and a lot of the games that you listed, I do have played, you know, some of which, and you know, some I haven't played. So there's that, and I at least want to try them at least once, or at least the ones I haven't played. However, the key thing is, now this is coming out holiday time, and you mentioned there's a $100 purchase, not including sales tax. And my budget for Christmas is extremely limited.
Sure.
I'm just barely able to save up $200 for Christmas, and every single last cent is already spoken for in terms of buying Christmas presents. And in fact, one of which is going to cost me like $120. So that's a lot, a lot of money that's being on Christmas
someone's
presents.
Someone's getting spoiled.
I'm not saying who. And
it ain't our business. It's
what? And what the game, the present is? That's $120 because that kind of thing is kind of inappropriate to mention on stream. But it's let's just say it's one of those gifts.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, I know no one else can see me, but Rob, but I'm using air quotes around those gifts.
I'm looking away right now.
so you can probably use your imagination right there.
No, I won't be using my imagination on that whatsoever. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners, Rage Nader, before I let you go?
I'm all set. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, you're
welcome.
I'll
try to catch your next show and Bobby's show next week, and it's entirely assuming that real life plans don't happen.
Well, there's always the podcast. That's what it's for. So you can listen to it when it's convenient for you and your busy life.
Yeah. Well, have a nice night.
You too. Take care, buddy. All right. We got to. Skype's lighting up tonight. We got to get to another call here. So I'm going to pick up another call on the line and get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Ah, excellent. This is Zorme. How are you guys doing?
Hi. Are you a first time caller? I don't recognize the name.
No, it's not, Sky. I think I spoke a few times over the last 10 years.
Okay, so it's just a long time dormant, we'll say then.
I mean, sort of. I mean, I do been able to keep up with you guys too because of Twitter and Facebook. I actually remembered that you guys were on because you tweeted about it, and I'm actively
social,
on Twitter myself.
Social networking works. Yay. Pipping.
Pipping,
this is why I pip my shit on social media all the time. Awesome.
Great.
Oh, you're right. I do recognize that. Bobby had to spell it out for me in chat. I do remember your name. I sure do. So, well, what's on your mind? What do we owe the phone call to tonight?
Actually, I'm just really, happy to see you guys, still, on the air and, talking about the things that you love. And I enjoy it. I'm a big DDR fan. I actually am in the process of trying to get myself my own machine.
Oh,
and looking at it. Yeah.
Now you know that's something Loki recently did.
You see, that's the whole thing. I wish that if Loki could probably give me any pointers on picking out one and maybe keeping up with it. I'm really looking for that.
Well, Loki, how did you find your machine? What's the upkeep been like for you?
I just kept checking different places eBay. There's a buy sell trade Facebook group that you can become a part of that sometimes people will sell machines. Craigslist. I got lucky with Facebook Marketplace. Someone just was dumping a machine. The guy was a collector and he didn't really play DDR too much. He just wanted to get rid of the machine, so I got it really cheap. And because he was trying to clear it out to me, because he's like, well, to be honest, I just want to get rid of this so I can get four more machines that could fit in the space that this one machine was in, because he had three rooms in his house and a garage that was also full of arcade games. So he was getting rid of that and a Gauntlet Legends, which is ooh, Gauntlet. But that's how I got lucky there. And as far as upkeep, all I've done is cleaned the pads. I lucked out. I don't know if it's lucky or not, but I have it. It's an LCD screen in there, so it's an LCD TV and not the original CRT screen. So I know there's a lot more upkeep with those. Granted, this image is stretched a little bit, but that's not going to be a problem when I put Step Mania in there at some point or if I manage to hack in one of the newer arcade games. But as far as the upkeep and stuff, it's I did go through and clean the pads out because they were pretty dirty. Apparently, the machine had come from the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk at some point. I was trying to find like old video to see if I could find where it was, but that's where they claim it came from. It was a third Korean at some point and got upgraded to Extreme. And so it was dirty. It had lots of beach sand in there. And so I've cleaned out one side of the pads. I didn't clean out the other side yet, which I probably should do. It needs it.
Well, if you're going to be inviting me over, you better clean that up.
Well, the only reason I could clean up the first side, because the first side was missing like crazy. The second side played just fine. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to clean out this one side. And then I just never got around to doing the other one. Also need to, get surface mount screws on there so that everything's inset and not sticking out, because I trip myself on those screws quite often.
That could be painful. So can you remind me again, what's the mix did you have? You have Extreme, right?
I have Extreme, yeah.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure you actually have it shipped from California. So I'm on the East Coast. So
I lucked out. I didn't have to ship it. The guy was local to me. He was like maybe 10 minutes away. So I just grabbed a U-Haul and I had a couple friends help me get it in there. So I got really lucky when I didn't have it shipped, because shipping would be pretty expensive. But yeah, I kind of lucked out. It's hard to find new machines out there. I mean, honestly, like, I was almost going to build my own because it might end up being cheaper that route, but I don't know. You can do a lot with, like, even like if you get the, like, well, the Step Maniacs pads are pretty expensive. Like, I think they're $1,000 or something, but you can, if you're willing to pay that, you could just get a LCD TV and mount it, and then that's about a machine right there.
Okay. All right.
I've seen some, or actually, because I actually use the SOS network, Bimani SOS. I don't know if you guys know about that, but, you know, on there, they told me that there's actually a possibility to get newer versions. Like, we can get, like, DDR 2014. And, you know, and there's a guy that talked about how he can help me set it up. But it's just, like, it's a hit or miss about the newer ones, and they have a lot of older ones, like $500, $600 roughly about the Extreme. And they just said that you might have to fix it, and I don't know too much about, like, going into it and fixing it. Like, I have the private server, you know, to kind of play Beatmania. I have, like, the program world. But over here, and I don't know if you know about Chinatown Fair, they actually had the people who actually installed it in the machines over there. So, but, like, they're in the machine, I'm thinking about shipping. So I'm glad that you know let me know a little bit about that. I'll see how it is on the East Coast.
Shipping. It's probably going to be a few $100s just because they have to pallet it and everything. I mean, the machines themselves, they're not too heavy because they're on wheels for the most part. I mean, so it was pretty easy just to get it in and out of U-Haul for me. I mean.
My plan is, I don't know about over on the West Coast, but well, it's over there as well. But have you heard of like TaskRabbit?
I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, so there's like a way you just hire people on demand and they'll help you move things and fix stuff and whatnot. So that's my actual plan for the lifting, because I actually live on the second floor in like in Brooklyn here out in New York. So, you know, that's like that's the reason why I'm like really interested in it, because I can at least get the help for that. But the actual fixing of it, or maybe I was hoping that maybe there was some sort of like, I know there's a wiki out there somewhere, but you know, it's making sure they're up to date and dated. You know, I'm a fan of Extreme. I might just do Extreme. So, but I think that's all. That's all. Yeah. Basically, thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it.
No worries, buddy, and it's good to hear from you, and best of luck in your hunt to chase down a DDR machine, and I hope when you get one that you don't, ruin your relationship with your downstairs neighbors. You may want to talk to Rama in our chat room, because he says, yo, I know people in Brooklyn, so.
I definitely will. I'll hit up the chat.
All right, sounds good. Well, take care, my friend. Thanks for the call.
All right, take care.
Yep, bye-bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. We can probably squeeze in one more call before we call the night here at Orange Lounge Radio. So get those phones ringing. Did you have any other last minute stories you wanted to sneak in here?
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. I completely forgot this is coming up, but apparently this coming up weekend is Inside Xbox XO18.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that like in Mexico City or something?
I believe so, yeah. So that's going to be coming up this weekend. So well, I guess we'll have some news. They said it runs 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time. They're going to have this Inside Xbox. It's going to be taking place at XO18 Central Time. On Saturday, so 3 to 5 Central. So we'll have to check it out and see what they're going to announce.
Do you think, yeah, I was going to say, do you think they're going to make any big announcements? Or do you think Xbox Classic?
That would be weird. I mean, neat, but yeah. I don't think they would do that because they have backwards compatibility. They're not, you know, stupid like some of the other
publishers. All right. All right, well, let's get one more call in here, and I'm sorry to those that aren't going to get through tonight, but you know, you can always email us. Hi, you're on Orange Sounds Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on? It is Ranma.
Hey, Ranma, what's on your mind, buddy?
Not too much. I guess I do have, like, the quick trigger finger to get onto the Skype line.
Yes, yes, you beat out thousands of others to get through once again. No, I'm just kidding. Well, what's on your mind, though?
A couple of things. Number one, yeah, I'm still waiting on Sony to announce backwards compatibility of PS1 and PS2 games for the PlayStation 4.
Well, don't hold your breath.
I know.
But I'm finally going to get one because Target's going to have the 1 terabyte console for $200.
Okay.
So, because, you know, Black Friday deals are leaking left and right. And I said, that's the only way I'm getting next-gen consoles if they're $200 on Black Friday. And I'm glad I got my Xbox One last year.
Yeah, that is a pretty darn good deal, I got to say. So don't blame me there.
Mm-hmm. And the second thing, I know you hate this whole Bowsette thing, but
you don't
I got
say.
This. I got this. I have this amazing cosplay group I'm putting together for a con next year. And I'm going to tell you, and I think you're going to like it.
I can't wait to not see pictures. No, I'm just kidding. What is it?
Oh, we're going to be doing selfies. I'm going to make sure that I send them to you.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're going to have two of my friends are twins. They're going to be Bowsette and Buet. And through some convincing, I am doing a modification of a Ghostbusters jumpsuit as Luigi.
Okay. So you will be trapping Bowsette live during the convention?
Probably so. And we're going to play off the supposed quote-unquote relationship between Buet and Luigi, because the way I see it is this: Buet sees Luigi as her boyfriend, and Luigi has no fucking clue as to this.
You cosplayers have so much fucking time on your hands to invent these stories.
All of this shipping going on.
No, nothing but love. Nothing but love. I'm just being a bitch.
Oh, you should see the Gundam Wing fandom, but that's a story for another time.
Bobby Blackwolf suggests to do Peach Owser, not Bowsette, and then that way you trick me.
Well, only half my cosplay friends that could happen, but I talked to Mako-chan. She's going to join in. She's going to do a variant of Daisy based off of Janine Melnitz from the animated series.
Now, see, when you told me that I would be into it, I thought you'd be like, I know all these like shirtless gay dudes who are going to be doing like Bowsette, but like as male without shirts on. I'd be like, okay, well, you can send me that.
I do have a dude dressed up as Bowsette I saw over the weekend. I can send you pictures of that.
All right, we got my number. Area code 916. I'm just kidding. I'm not giving my phone number out on air. What?
I also have some shirtless crossplay Sailor Moon dudes for you as well.
All right. I mean, well, that's right up Alan's alley. Alan loves Sailor Moon.
Someone needs the cosplay Bowsette, but the Dennis Hopper Bowser.
See that? I might have to get someone to do that as well.
Now, that's funny. By the way, since Rama brought up Ghostbusters, I forgot to say, you know they have that Ghostbusters game that's kind of like the takeoff on Pokemon Go? That came out. I played that a little bit this week. It uses the AR stuff. Like, you have to, like, put a trap on the ground. It's not like throwing a ball. Like, they didn't try to copy that thing from Pokemon Go. So they made, like, a whole different type of capture thing with the Ghostbusters thing. So I thought, Rama reminded me of that. I did play that because, you know what, Loki? Once in a while, I'll just try a mobile game that sounds remotely interesting because it's free.
And because you have a phone?
And because I have a phone. Don't you have a phone?
I do have a phone.
That's it. Thank you, Tiger Claw. Ghostbusters World, that's the name of it. Don't you have a phone, Rama?
I haven't started it yet.
Don't you have a phone?
Yes, I have a phone.
I know. I'm just saying. It's the question we're all asking each other this week.
I just upgraded my phone, so now I can actually download and play more games.
Oh, there you go.
I have about 20 games on my phone, and I sit there, I play Sailor Moon Drops all damn day.
You and my husband both, Jesus. All right. Well, Rama, I'm going to wrap up and let you go, but any other quick final thoughts for our listeners?
I agree with Bobby Black with about the retro consoles. I mean, honestly, I'm not buying into the PlayStation Classic. I can't see myself doing it. I mean, honestly, I'd rather track down a PS1, mod it, download the ISOs, and play it. And that will probably be a lot cheaper than buying a classic. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. Well, but, you know, Sony would prefer you didn't do it that way. But then, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, Sony could have released those things on PlayStation 4 or let me use my PlayStation 1 disc. It's getting a little silly.
Yes, I mean, Microsoft lets you. Come on, Sony. Who are you kidding, fam? Who are you kidding? You can't ride the Spider-Man train forever.
I know. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go. Have a good one. Thank you for the call, though.
Hey, no problem. You take care, bros.
You too. Bye. And I think with that, I am going to go ahead and wrap up. I'm so sorry to those that didn't get through. But remember, you can always email us, participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And I would definitely encourage you to do that. But we are going to wrap up here in studio tonight. That was a fun show. Thank you, Loki, as always, Sarah, for being here. And thank you, listeners, as always, for being here. Because, again, we do tape live on Sunday nights at the Voice Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. But I know many of you listen to us through our podcast feed, and we are very thankful for that. Because the live experience is going to be changing very, very soon. I would say within the next 6 weeks, we're going to be making that big move to Twitch. And for those of you on the podcast feed, though, nothing's going to change, so don't worry about it. Just maybe the audio will kind of sound a little different because we'll be recording it a little differently, hopefully on some newer equipment. And then we are going to be making a hosting change behind the scenes. But again, all that shouldn't really affect you guys. We do appreciate you guys listening to our show every week and supporting Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you, as always. Whether you've been listening for all 15, 16 years, or you just started listening last week, we appreciate you being here. Please help us spread the word. Tell a friend or two about our show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we can only air the voices that are here to basically be aired. So that's that. Now we'll get everybody's final thought. Oh, I always say a quick five-star review on a place like iTunes and all that goes a long way. I've said that enough. And we never seem to get new ones anyway. But I'll say it again because you never know. Maybe this will be the week. Anyway, final thoughts time. It's time to get everybody's final thought. Loki, you want to go first? What's your final thought tonight?
I forgot to mention, well, I looked at this earlier this week, but Humble Bundle right now has another PlayStation 4 deal that's going right now.
Like, I didn't know that.
THQ Games. So if you're interested in that, Gianna Sisters could be had for $1. And Locke's Quest.
Oh, shit. I might. Well, Gianna Sisters, they gave away on the Xbox Gold a while ago. Sorry. Right. But, I mean, for charity, for $1.
Yeah, or
why
like,
not?
You know, they have This is the Police, The Dwarves, Red Faction 2, Black Mirror, and Destroy All Humans 2 for $12.28, which is the beat the average in $15. Titan Quest, Darksiders, War Master Edition, Xenomore EX, and Battle Chasers Night War. So
that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of games.
Yeah, a lot of games.
I like my deals.
I think I have a lot of these already, though. But I don't know. We'll see. That's it.
All right. And then my final thought is, so I didn't talk about this during my gaming week, but you know I play those online reality games. I was playing another one recently. Guess what? Guess what, Loki? Guess what? I was playing a Big Brother one online. Guess what happened?
You got voted out.
I got voted out before the jury again. I'm the biggest flop in these things, but yet I still continue to play. All right. Anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening to our show and supporting it. We appreciate you guys. And we will see you next time next week. We'll do it all again next week, right? Next week's show is going to have to last us 2 weeks, though, so we got to make it extra good. So we'll see you here in 7 days to do it all over again. Thank you again for listening. Have a great week. Happy gaming.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into vognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.